పుత్ర సిద్ధ శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం తిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రయం సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయానాథ మృత్యం సువసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదికవై ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ. తేజోవారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింబా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకా. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకునిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపికాపి. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే. శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വീണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീനദിയാധിയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So yesterday when we were discussing this verse 22 purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastu ananyaya yasya andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam, that was the verse we were looking at. Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading and everything is situated within him. So in that, if you look into this last line of that, yasya andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam, Krishna is saying there. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, that this very point is expressed in many, many places. What is that? As andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam. That Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart as Antaryami, he is present all-pervading. He is present in every other living entities as well. So here, as andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam, the difference is that normally in dhyanam, in meditation, you close your eyes and meditate on Krishna present inside as in the heart, as the dhyanavastita tadgadena manaso pashyandiyam yogino. Yogis meditate on the form of Krishna inside the heart, closing their eyes. Dhyanavastita. In the Bhagavatam, you will see at the very end it mentions there. Dhyanavastita tadgadena manasa pashyandiyam yogino. Yogis see Krishna within the heart. But here, what is the difference then? Difference is, Krishna is saying here that from there they move on to further to the state where they will see Krishna's presence with their eyes open. There is a big difference there. Inside the heart, they will see Krishna's form inside while closing their eyes. But later on, they will see the same Krishna present in every other living entity. At that time, the eyes are not closed. Eyes are open. So, seeing Krishna with the eyes open. In the meditation, you close your eyes and see Krishna within the heart. Seeing Krishna within the heart with the closed eyes in the meditation. But here, Krishna is saying, later on, it move on to seeing Krishna in every living entity, present everywhere, and with the eyes wide open. So, the closer, eyes closed, that samadhi state is there in the meditation, in dhyanam, or in the samadhi, they get the vision of Krishna with the eyes closed. But, here what will happen now is, once their eyes open, when the eyes are open, the whole creation comes in the front. In front of us, isn't it? What is creation means? Creation means name and form, namarupam. Namam and rupam. Namarupa prapancham it is called. So the creation with name and form manifests in front of us. And but while looking at that form, in the Naiman form, not seeing the Naiman form, but seeing Krishna's presence in there, is this realization. Which one? Yasyandastani bhutani yena sarvamidam tadam. That realization is different than the yogi's meditation and realization of Krishna within the heart. When yogis go into mountains and the caves and they meditate on Krishna's form, and they realize him within the heart with the eyes closed. But here what Krishna is talking about is Yasyandastani bhutani yena sarvamidam tadam. Another vision of Krishna after seeing the creation, and within the creation all different names and forms, everywhere seeing Krishna with the eyes wide open. Not Krishna's form, but Krishna's presence in those different manifestations. And while this is happening, there is no obstacle for the transactions or vyavaharam. Vyavaharam is not disturbed. In the case of jnanis, while they have this vision of the world outside, and they are experiencing Krishna's presence in everything in this creation, at the same time, their vyavaharam or transactions in this world is not disturbed. And it's a very amazing state. It's a very amazing state, that is. That able to see Krishna's presence in everything in the creation, and able to conduct all the transactions in this world uninterruptedly. And that state is mentioned here. Yasyandastani bhutani yena sarvamidam tadam. So, and this is an example in the Bhagavadam, is Katvanga. Katvanga was a king who went to the heavenly planets to fight with the demigods, isn't it? And after fighting, you will see in the Bhagavadam how it's mentioned, he comes back, he says here that I have not seen anything else except Krishna, he says, even while fighting the war. Even while fighting the war, he hasn't seen, if you see into the ninth chapter, verse 44, na balye api madharam ahim adharam meramade kochil na pashya uttama shlokan anyad kinchana vastvaham na pashyam uttama shlokan anyad kinchana vastvaham. He says, even in the na balye api madharam ahim adharam meramade kochil, even during my balyam, in the childhood, my mind has not gone in any other direction, he says. Madhar mahyam adharme ramade kojal, never gone into any other kind of adharmam, irreligious ways. But na apashyam uttama shlokad anyat kinjana vastu aham, except that, except Krishna, nothing, nowhere else my mind has got absorbed at any time. I have not seen anything else, says Katvanga. Deive kamavarodatto mahyam tribhuvaneshwari navrane tamaham kamam bhudabhavana bhavanam. I have received this, the demigods gave a special benediction to Katvangam that told him that he has only a very short period of time to live. Therefore, he came down to the earthly planet and sat in the meditation and gave up his body. That is the history of Katvanga. And while leaving his body, he mentions, Adhesha maya rajiteshu sangam guneshu gandharva purovameshu rudham prakriti almani vishwakartru bhavena hitva tamaham prabadhyem. He says, Adhesha maya rajiteshu sangam, that the demigods, and particularly Krishna's maya, has created this world, and attachment develops to various objects in this world due to sangam, due to association. Katvanga says there, but due to rudham prakriti atmani vishwakartur bhavena hitva tamaham prabadye, but I have developed a sufficient attachment for Krishna's lotus feet, therefore I am not disturbed about any of these things in the creation. Saying this, Katvanga gave up his body. Iti vyavasado buddhya narayana grihitaya hitvanya bhavam ajnanam tadasvam bhavam ashridam. And due to the mercy or the purified intelligence of Katvanga, he has given up the attachment to the body, which is in the form of false ego, which is the ajnanam or avidya in him. He gave up that and he goes back into his transcendental state, in transcendental realizations. That's what it says there. So even though Katvangan says there, that I have not seen anything else except Krishna while leaving the body, he is saying this. In other words, Khatvanga is also saying the same thing that Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. That realization that everything in sense in the creation, he finds Krishna's presence. It's nothing but a manifestation of Krishna. So here, all of these things has not become an obstacle in executing his dharma. That is the important thing. Khatvanga was a king, so Kshatriya. He had to fight the war. So even though he was in this realized state, it did not stop him from fighting the war. That is important thing. If he can conduct a war in self-realized state, imagine that, what state of consciousness that will be. That even while all the great realized souls are like that. Particularly Krishna has shown that to us in the Mahabharata war, isn't it? So many people were getting killed, but Krishna was smiling still, was not disturbed over anything. Why is that? Because of this Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. It is because of that. That Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. Once that realization comes, all things what we consider distressful is not a distress anymore for them. For those who are realized, it does not disturb them because Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. Krishna's presence in everywhere is recognized. Therefore, Krishna was not disturbed in the Mahabharata war. Similarly, Khatvanga also, the same state of consciousness, that he was fighting the war and he was killing the enemies who were causing distress to the demigods. But in spite of that, he was in the realized state, able to fight a war in the realized state. Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. So, we are thinking that seeing Krishna as a person in a particular form in front of us as the topmost realization in spiritual life. Many people have that understanding, is it not? But it is not so. This is the proper understanding that even after realization that he is able to conduct all the dealings in this world, transactions in this world, still getting unaffected by anything here, what goes on, and still be situated in the platform of spiritual life, that self-realized state. That is what is important in this verse. Krishna is saying that Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastananyaya Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. That means there is nothing exist outside Krishna at that point. Everything is Krishna then. Everywhere only Krishna is present, nothing else. That real state of realization. That is why it's so important. Yasyandastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. So that darshanam or that realization shows that the avidya or ignorance inside has completely gone. Ajnanam has gone away. So not only that, up to that point he has the understanding that so many different objects exist in this creation. So and that understanding also has gone. There is not many objects, there is only one object. That is Krishna. Krishna is the only object that exists in the creation. So Krishna says here, when at the time of death, if anyone feels that there is a separate object exists, you cannot leave the body in that way. That in the that is what the Brahmisthiti Krishna talks about. Brahmisthiti means that at the time before death happens, if one sees that Krishna's presence in the whole creation, self-realization in other words, and even if you recognize that another separated existence of any living entity, only then you will see another living entity. Otherwise you won't see another living entity. That means in creation, it is Krishna's presence is what we have to realize, not the existence of various objects in this world. This is a subtle point because Krishna is saying that at the time of death, if we see different objects in their name and form, that can create some thought waves inside at the time of death. But instead, if this realization has happened that Krishna is the only object, Krishna is the only person who is present in everything. Krishna means the presence of the soul in every living entity. Once that realization comes, There is no other vastu existing separately from Krishna. And the same thing what Krishna has spoken here, Krishna has told Uddhava also. If you remember, we talked about this many times before. Krishna is saying that at the time of death, if you see anything separately from Krishna, that will create difficulties inside. It will bring various thoughts inside because of the why division comes. Division comes because of the duality, dvandvam in there. Isn't it? We start seeing dvaitam causes that problem. It creates another object present in this world. So, when Krishna mentioned this to Uddhava also, finally Krishna says, Uddhava asked Krishna, it's a very difficult concept to see that you are the only person present in everybody at the time of death, to realize it like that. Krishna says to him, all other processes, pranayamam, chanting the holy name, deity worship, kriya yogam, everything. Uddhava, Krishna has explained all these things to Uddhava. And Krishna also smiled at that time. When Uddhava said, that is very difficult, he says. So, that is when Krishna talks to Uddhava about yogasthiti, the state of yoga state at the time of death. Uddhava says to him, Uddhava says to Krishna, after doing all these things, is there going to be a success in my life? Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. After whatever you have spoken to me till now, after doing all that, is there going to be a success in my life? Because Uddhava is very, very old at that time when he asked this question. He was same age as Krishna, 125 years old. So, his situation was, at what moment the body is going to drop? Any moment it can drop and go. He was aware of that. And he says to him, I have also seen many yogis previously in my life. Many, many yogis I have seen. Because Uddhava was also a great personality who had a lot of connection with the great yogis before. So he says to him that many, many personalities who have performed yoga sadhana, they have performed different yoga sadhana, but none of them have reached this state, what Krishna is talking about in this verse. Which one? This, yasya andasthani bhudani yena sarvam idam tatam. Nobody has reached that state, Uddhava says to Krishna. Because Krishna is saying, that is the state one should be at the time of death. That he should not see different objects in this world, with different names and different forms. That will create dvaidam in the mind, dvaidam brahmam. Brahmam comes from that. So he says to him, that if one is seeing like that and he leaves the body, we can't guarantee about his destination. Krishna says to Uddhava. He can't guarantee about destination. This Asyandasthani Bhudani Yena Sarvam Idam Tadam. So Uddhava says to Krishna, that is all very good, but I have seen so many yogis in my life. They have practiced yoga sadhana throughout life, and I don't think any of them have reached this state, what you are saying here. When Uddhava said and smiled at Krishna, Krishna also smiled. Saying that. Krishna also smiled. So he says here, that all I have seen, Uddhava says to Krishna, all I have seen, yogis struggling with their mind, unable to get it under control, unable to control the mind. Imagine the yogis are saying this, they are finding it difficult to control their mind. Mind is such a difficult thing to control. Krishna spent one whole chapter, the sixth chapter is all about dhyana yoga, or mind control, controlling the mind. So, in the Bhagavatam, when it comes to this, Uddhava says to Krishna that if you look into Uddhava's words there, Uddhava says, Sudushcharam imam manye, 29th chapter. So Uddhava vacham, Sudushcharam imam manye, yoga jaryamanaltmana, yad anjasa puman siddhir, tanme bruhi anjasa chudam. Prayasha pundarigaksha, yunjando yogino mana, విషీదంతి అసమాధానం మనోనిగ్రహకర్షితాః. దోస్ టు వర్సెస్. ఉద్ధవ సేస్ టు కృష్ణ, సుదుశ్చరామిమాం మన్యి యోగచర్యాం అనాల్మనాం. One who has this yoga process, what you have spoken about here, is very, very difficult for those who have no completely control of their mind and senses. He says, Sudushcharam imam manye yoga charyam analmana yad anjasa puman siddhye tanme bruhi anjasa achyuta. Therefore, tell me a process which will work, he says. Uddhava is also saying to Krishna, give me a process that will work for me. There is no point in saying something like us. Everything they say in the Shastra, we say, oh, that's not possible. Everything, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, we say it's not possible. Nothing is possible. So same way, Uddhava also puts it in front of Krishna, saying that anjasa, anjasa means which will work, which is easy to perform. It is at that time when Uddhava put up these issues before Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava, I'll tell you an easy process. And Uddhava's point was, right now I want to realize the truth because the time is too short. He has to go. Uddhava also knows Krishna is leaving. Krishna is leaving. So Uddhava put it to Krishna that, tell me a process that will work right now. I will experience that in very easily. Uddhava says to him, Krishna says, there is a very straight process, he says. What is that? That, he says, like a rocket, it will work, he says, if you are willing to do that. And that is that process Krishna is saying to him. If you go further in that chapter, 29th chapter, verse 14. Brahmane pulkase sthene, brahmanye arke spulingage, akrure krurage chaiva, సమదృక్ పండితో మతాః నరేషు అభీష్ణం మద్భావం పుంసో భావయతో అచిరాల్ స్పర్ధా అసూయ తిరస్కారం సహంగారం వియందిః విసర్జస్మయమానాన్ స్వాన్ దృశం వ్రీడాం చ దైహికిం ప్రణమే దండవద్ భూమౌ అశ్వచాండాళ ఘోఖరం యావత్ సర్వేషు భూతేషు మద్భావో నోపజాయతే తావదేవం ఉపాసీదం వాంగ్మన కాయవృత్తిభి సర్వం బ్రహ్మాత్మకం తస్య విద్యయాత్మమనీషయ పరిపశ్యన్ ఉపరమత్ సర్వదో ముక్త సంశయాః. ఆల్ దాట్ ఈస్ అబౌట్ ద ప్రోసెస్. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్, వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ ప్రోసెస్? ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్, కృష్ణ సేస్, ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ దాట్ సరెండర్ టు కృష్ణ ఆర్ దాట్ డివోషన్ ఇన్ Krishna, towards the spiritual master or to the Supreme Personality, Krishna, bhakti is there, then if you cannot execute what the spiritual master has said, suppose what the spiritual master has instructed, if you cannot do that, Krishna is the spiritual master here in this particular instance. Krishna is saying here, whatever you see in this creation, if you take that, it is a manifestation of Krishna, and if you can get convinced on that, then you don't need any sadhana. No sadhana is necessary. You have to get convinced that every living entity in this creation is Krishna. And how do you get that? That is why he mentioned here, visrajyas mayamanan swan drisham vridamcha dehigim praname dandavad bhumav ashva chandala ghokharam. That is the message. So, going back to verse 14, Krishna is saying here, Brahmane pulkase sene brahmane arke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva samadrik pandito mata. So, Brahmana chandala pulkasa means chandala, and sene, one who is steal from the wealth of the temple or from the Brahmanas. They are sthena. Brahmane pulkase sthene. Then, Brahmane arke spulingage. He says, here, Brahmajnani. Brahmajnani means those who have got knowledge of the Brahman and who are devotees among them. Brahmane arke spulingage. Arke is Suryan, the sun. We talked about sun yesterday. Again, Krishna brings the sun here. Sun, and just like a spark that comes from the fire, and a person who is very peaceful in Shanti state. Akrure, then krurage chaiva, or one person who is very cruel. All kinds of people. If in all of them, if you sense Krishna's presence in them, if you perceive Krishna's presence in them, such a person, samadrik panditomada, has equal vision. He has got equal vision and he is a learned person. Krishna is saying there. And nareshu abhishnam malbhavo pumso bhavayato achiral spardha asuya tiraskaram sahangaram viyandihi. So normally when we have a connection with any living entity in this world, Krishna says, if there is these four emotions, which one? Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, ahankaram. Sahankara viyandhi. What are they? Spardha means, you have enmity towards, or envy towards equal. Envy towards equal. Asuya means, you have envy for higher personalities, higher people who are higher than us. If you feel envy towards them, that is asuya. And spardha is if you feel envy towards equal. So spardha, asuya. Then tiraskaram. Tiraskaram is a indifferent attitude. Someone who is lower than you. Lower means a feeling develops inside, ragadvesham inside. We have a feeling towards others, so he is not to be taken very seriously, or is to be taken on a lower level. All these emotions develops in people's heart, isn't it? Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, sa ahankaram viyandihi. He says here that sa ahankaram viyandihi. If spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, if it goes away, these three are the manifestations of the false ego inside a person. Ahankaram's manifestation is spardha, asuya and tiraskaram. Spardha means on equal level, spardha. People who are on the same level, whatever that level is. For example, among students there can be spardha in the class between the two students who are competing each other. Sports also. Sports, music, in different fields, those who are on an equal level, what is, they have a competition nature, isn't it? They compete each other. So between them, what is called spardha develops between them, spardha. That's called spardha. Asuya is those which are higher than us. For example, somebody, you are poor and compared to someone else who is very rich, then you feel envy towards him, though he's a rich person. That is asuya. Spardha, asuya. And then tiraskaram. Tiraskaram means those who are lower, who is not up to your level or level standard, whoever it is. Towards them, you feel what is known as tiraskaram. So Krishna says, these three things, spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, they are the manifestation of the false ego inside, ahankaram. Ahankaram comes out in these three levels, spardha, asuya, tiraskaram. You will notice in everyone, this is in different degrees it exists. We are not stones. We are only if you are a stone, this won't happen. But as long as we have a mind, these three emotions will work inside there. And those three emotions create this ragadvesham in us towards others. Isn't it? It creates ragadvesham. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram. Even any area, if you take, wherever you are operating in the field, in office where you are working, or in industry or business or school, university, or anywhere you go, this exists. These things exist. Spardha, asuya, tiraskaram. Like in the classroom, you will notice those students who are very dull, who is not studying much, nobody will take notice of them. It starts there itself. In the school it starts. You want to talk about college. It even starts in the school. School classrooms, they'll say about someone who is dull, who is not getting much marks or who is not doing very well. Everyone ignores them. And similarly, And it goes the same nature, keep on building up, goes into the college and then to the workplace, and then throughout life it exists. So you can see the spardha, how it keeps growing throughout life. Similarly, asuya also, asuya develops in certain instances depending on with whom you are interacting with. So spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, these three things Krishna is saying, they are the manifestations of the false ego inside. So in order to destroy that, sahangara viyandhi nareshu abhishnam madbhavam pumso bhavayato achiral. Sooner or later, Krishna is saying madbhavam. Krishna's presence, if you see in a person, then this will not happen. That is a necessity for seeing that. And he says, visrajya smayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehikim praname dandavad bhumau ashwa chandala gokharam. Krishna says here that up to the point till you do not come to this realization that in all living entities, I am present there, till that gets completely rooted inside, Krishna is saying here, with your words, with your mind and with your body, you have to continue this upasana or this sadhana, so that these three things goes away. The mind, the words and the body. With these three things, Krishna says you have to execute this sadhana. Which one? This next one. What is that? Praname dandavad bhumav ashva chandala ghokharam. That means as soon as you see someone, fall down on the ground and pay your obeisances to him. And that includes, Krishna is saying, ashva, the dog eater, cow, donkey, and every other living being in this world. Knowing that Krishna is present in that body, in that form. It is Krishna who is present in that form. And knowing well, pay your obeisances to him. Krishna says to Uddhava, if you do that, then these things, spardha, asuya, tiraskaram, those things will go away from within. Visarjya smayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehikim. Krishna says that visarjya smayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehikim. All this problem, Krishna says, is coming from the identification with the body. That's where it's coming from. So, freedom from this body is not an easy thing. That it does not leave us very easily. Visrajyas mayamanan swan drisham vridam jadehigim. Now, why Krishna said like this, in this way? Normally, we pay our obeisances. Obeisances means, Krishna is saying that if you pay praname dandavad bhumam, dandavad pranam, fall down like a rod and pay your obeisances to Krishna. Krishna says to them. So, actually, how does it help to get rid of the false ego from inside? For example, you may pay your obeisances to someone, but at the same time, inside that ahangaram has to go, the false ego has to go. From the Vedic viewpoint, the body is able to stand up only because of the false ego. If the false ego goes, it drops. It's meant to drop. It is because of the false ego that we are able to stand up. If there is no ego, the body will meant to drop. So, false, Krishna says here, praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokaram. Now, all over the world, in the temples and places, people pay obeisances, isn't it, to the deities. Obeisances to the spiritual master. But it is purely a physical thing at that point. We have to remember that. Our ahangaram has not gone. False ego has not gone from inside. With the false ego, we chant the mantra and we pay our obeisances. But the false ego has not gone away a bit from inside. But Krishna's point is that if you continue paying obeisances to all living entities, because sometimes people say, oh, I only have to pay obeisances to my spiritual master. I won't pay to anybody else. They are very sure about that. Because that is where the difficulty comes. Krishna's point is that will not work. That is done as an etiquette in the sampradaya system, that you pay your spiritual master to the devotees, to the spiritual master and to the supreme personality Krishna in the temple. That is the etiquette in the sampradaya system. But for self-realization, Krishna is saying you can't differentiate between people like that. To anyone and everyone, till you come to this point that there is no false ego anymore, then it is perfect. Otherwise it's not. Because otherwise ragadvesham won't go. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so he says Brahmane Pulkase Stene, and Krishna gives you various persons whom one has to pay the obeisances, all different situations. Brahmane, one who is what's the Brahminical nature, Brahmanyam in him. Pulkase, one who is stealing from Brahmana and who is stealing from the temple. They are also to be paid obeisances. Brahmane Pulkase Stene. Brahmanye Arkes Pulingage. Akrure Krurage Chaiva Samadrek Pandito Mata. All of them, whatever they may be in this world, Krishna says, pay your obeisances to them. If you do that, what will happen is, Krishna says, Samadrik, you will have an equal vision towards everyone. Because anyone who is mentioned here, a thief is also working under the influence of Maya, isn't it? And the so-called person who is following dharmam, religious principles in this world, he is also under the influence of Maya. Nobody is excluded from Maya's influence. So Krishna says here, Sparda Asuya Tiraskaram Sahangara Viyandihi Visrajas Mayamanansvan Drisham Vridamcha Dehikim. So, till we realize that Krishna is present in every living entity, up to that point, Krishna says, till then, with the word, with the mind and the body, you have to serve, you have to accept Krishna's. And on an equal platform, you have to accept every living entity. Every living entity. Praname dandavad bhumav ashva chandala khogaram yavad. Next verse he says, yavad sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopa jayate. Till you have not come to that state of madbhavam. Madbhavam means Krishna's presence in everything. In every living entity. Yavad sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopa jayate. Tavad deva upasidam. Vang mana kaya vrittibhi. Up to that point, till it happens, with the words, with the mind and with the body, all activities should be centered around this principle. It should be utilized in that way. In other words, mind, body and the words, these are the three things with which we perform actions in this world. So Krishna is saying, yaval sarveshu bhudeshu, till in all living entities, madbhavo nopajayade, till we see Krishna's presence there, he says that tavadeva upasita vangmana kaya vrittibhi. You have to continue this upasana. This is the upasana. What is that? Praname dandavad bhumav ashva chandala ghokaram. Krishna says to him. And then, I am hi sarvakalpanam sadri chino mato mama malbhavam sarvabhudeshu manovakaya vrittibhi. So, here, Krishna is saying, whether it's a Brahmana, Chandala, or a thief, or Brahman, or even if he is Brahma or sun god, whoever you see in this creation, to know that it is same Vastu. Vastu is the same. They are all Krishna's different manifestations. Whether it is sun, whether it is Lord Brahma, or whether he is a person who is stealing, a thief, he is also Krishna. In Sri Rudram, that is how Krishna is addressed. Shiva is addressed in the sense, Taskaranam Padaye Namaha. In other words, of all the thieves, their head is Krishna. This stealing quality, where did it come from? It came from Krishna, isn't it? Krishna is the, all the qualities what we have, it has come from Krishna. So, Taskaranam Padaye Namaha. Taskara means the thieves. Their head is Krishna. Their head of all the thieves is also Krishna. So Krishna is saying, you have to accept that also. They are also my presence. It is not that Krishna is only present in the good people. No, it's present in everybody. In Hiranyakashipu also, Krishna who is present. In Hiranyaksha also, Krishna is present. In Kamsa also, Krishna is present. Ravana also, Krishna is present. Who else is doing all these things? Krishna who is present inside in all of them, they are performing different activities. That is their swabhavam. That you can't say anything. That is another thing. But in Swarubam, Ravana, Kamsa, and Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they are all like us, soul. They are not different from Krishna. The same spiritual identity they also have. Krishna is present within them. Therefore, they are able to do all those different things what they have done. Whether it's Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa or Ravana, whoever, doesn't matter. They all did everything because Krishna was present inside. But their activities, that may be good or bad, that is another thing. That is not to be taken into account. In spiritual realization, that is not to be taken into account. That is how it is. Because they are swabhavam. Swabhavam is not important, swarupam is important. So, till this knowledge comes, Krishna says here, he is a pandita. When this knowledge comes to someone, he is a pandita. So, Uddhava asked him, how will that happen? Uddhava asked Krishna, how will that happen? Krishna says, keep paying your obeisances repeatedly again and again and again. To whom? To all donkey, horses, dog eater, and the learned person, and a ignorant person. All of them, without any differences, thinking that he is learned or he is ignorant, no, thinking like that, completely pay your obeisances to them every moment, he says. And Krishna says to him, while paying your obeisances, say to yourself that you are paying obeisances to me in that form. That is how you have to see that. Otherwise, we will say, oh Ravana, who is Ravana after all? We are better than Ravana, we will say, isn't it? Or in the same way, the division has come within our mind. The division should not happen. That is what Krishna is saying. In the beginning, we divide everything. We say, these are the devotees, these are the demons. But when you move beyond than that, beyond this platform of good and bad, there is no good and there is no bad. In all everything, what is present is Krishna. That is a higher understanding. In the early days, you have to see these differences between Ravana and Vibhishana, and similarly the devotees and the demons. That is why when people study Puranam, they get confused about this. All every time. They study the Puranam and they start thinking, oh, I do not want to associate with Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha. I would like to associate with the devotees. But that is in the beginning. But on a philosophical level, when you understand, you can see that this demon-devotee concept and all is based on the body and its nature. It has nothing to do with the soul inside the person. Krishna who is present inside, whether it is in Ravana, Kumbhakarna or Vibhishana or Kamsa or Jarasandha or Shishubala, doesn't matter. The Krishna who is present inside all of them, Krishna says you should see that, not their behavior or not their swabhavam, in other words. But one problem here is Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Krishna is 125 years at this time. Uddhava is also similar age. There is not much difference in their age. So he says to him, pay your obeisances every time. We are people by age of 60, we need the chair to sit, isn't it? Otherwise we find it very difficult. Or we find difficulty with the legs or with the hips or the knees or ankles. There are so many problems, so many pain. And Krishna is saying to Uddhava, pay your obeisances fully falling down on the ground to someone. So, so it looks as though it's something very cruel Krishna is asking Uddhava to do. That at this age, to pay obeisances to every living entity. So Krishna says to him, if you know that all living entities, Krishna's presence is there, then you don't have to do it. But till you know that Krishna is present in everybody, You have to do it. That is how Krishna puts it to him. He says, because proper, while paying obeisances properly, there is no more the person who is paying the obeisances. He's not there anymore. That is proper obeisances. The person who is paying the obeisances does not exist anymore after paying the obeisances. Why is it like that? Who is paying the obeisances? The false ego inside. He is paying the obeisances, isn't it? So if the proper surrender is there, while you pay the obeisances, if the ahankaram has gone away completely from inside, then obeisances are not necessary anymore. That is the point Krishna is making there. Krishna says, sa ahankara viyandihi. Ahankaram has to go. That is more important. Whether you paid obeisances or not is not important, but the ahankaram inside has to leave the person. So the person who is doing the obeisances, he is not there anymore. And to whom he is paying obeisances, that also doesn't exist anymore. That is an advanced state of spiritual realization. Till that happens, Krishna says to Uddhava, keep this sadhana inside and continue doing that. So because what happens is, when we see different living entities in this world, there develops what is called Veda Buddhi. Isn't it? Veda Buddhi, that is the word they use in the Shastra. Veda Buddhi means, we start putting them in different slots. This person is good, this person is bad. This person is okay to deal with, this person is not okay to deal with. Or different ways we form in a certain level, we categorize people. Isn't it? In other words, within ourselves, we make a division of people. Some people, they divide everybody in the world. And the division is not a good thing. It's not a very spiritually advanced understanding. Dividing people, dividing everybody. Just like you can see sometimes, people do all sorts of things in the different social situations. They have divided, isn't it? People have been divided all the time. So that's not a good thing. And unfortunately, because there is no spiritual understanding, people think it is acceptable to do that. Because there is no understanding of spiritual life. That is why you will see sometimes in different social functions or even religious functions, they will divide people all the time, is it not? The authorities, they divide everybody. Those who are paid so much, they can sit in the front. Those who are paid less, they can... This is all complete nonsense, it is. From a spiritual point of view, it's not very spiritual understanding. Put it that way. It may look the function, sake of the function, they may have to do all that. And there are many, many instances, very advanced yogis, jnanis, devotees, they have gone to some functions and they were offended by the so-called authorities. Because of this lack of understanding. They did not know. They thought looking at the person's dress and looking at a person's external appearance, they started making judgment. He is not fit for the front seat, you should sit at the back seat. So, like this. This kind of division that comes in naturally in the conditioned state, it's there. So, therefore Krishna is saying, till that goes away, that is called Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi means to keep separating people like this all the time. Then Krishna says that that means this is good, this is bad. So long as you are seeing that, Krishna says, if that thought comes inside towards anyone, he says you should pay obeisances. That's the test. The moment that thought comes in, that somebody is higher or lower in your vision towards that person, then you should pay your obeisances and remove that Veda Buddhi from inside. Krishna says, remove that Veda Buddhi from inside and and pay your obeisances to him. So, in order to know that, Krishna is also present in that living entity. Krishna is also present in that living entity. This permeates in all levels, in everywhere, not only in the normal social functions, even religious functions also. You can see this. Sometimes in the temples you will notice this. They will call, so-called brahmanas, they will invite them inside and feed them well. And all the poor innocent people, they'll be sitting outside and they have to wait till the hierarchy is fed fully. So that these things do happen everywhere. So Krishna says here, wherever you have difficulty in that way, or if you feel upset with someone, anger, if you feel anger towards someone, take that person as Krishna's manifestation and pay your obeisances to him. Same way, equally, Krishna says, if you are feeling any attachment, a special attachment towards anything, also you have to think that it is Krishna who is present inside and perform, keep your relationship in that way. There is a reason behind all these things. It is not spoken just to take us out of these things. The reason is this, that in this way, idea behind all these things is to remove the ragam and dvesham. That means the attachment and aversion from inside. That is the purpose behind all these things. Krishna says here, if you remove the ragam dvesham in this way, and that hate or love for someone, wherever the mind goes in this world, or whatever the eyes see in this world, the mind will not move. That's what the advantage is. That if ragadvesham is not developing, that means the mind will not have any movement inside the mind. And mind will be peaceful. Shanti will be there. Because there is no attachment or there is no aversion either. If the attachment or aversion happens, what does that mean? It means it will create an impression inside. It will create an impression inside. And suppose you see something, there will be immediately an impression in the mind. Isn't it? Impression in the mind. And suppose you have some, you saw something which you have an attachment. As soon as you see, it creates an impression inside. Similarly, if you have aversion towards someone or an object, that will also create an impression inside. So this, if you do not create any impression inside, that is what Krishna is saying here, yena sarvam idam tatam. That word is referring to that. Krishna says here that if there is aversion, there will be an impression. If there is a attachment, there will be an impression. If both of them don't happen, that means if there is no attachment or there is no aversion, which means there is no impression inside. That means, yena sarvamidam tatam. That's what that state. Yena sarvamidam tatam. That's all it is. You don't have to see Krishna there, physically present in everyone. What happens is that, the subtle level, this is what's happening. With every object in this world, every person in this world, we have attachment or aversion in different levels. So, if an attachment develops to anyone, it creates an impression. If a aversion develops anyone towards anyone, it creates an impression. Once an impression is created, it creates vasana. And therefore Krishna says here, yena sarvam idam tatam. Yena sarvam idam tatam. The same thing Manikyavachakar mentions in a different way. He says to him that just like a flower, when it has its fragrance, when it comes out, then once they start coming out, it will spread everywhere. It will spread everywhere. Similarly, a devotee also, he says, he will smell Krishna. He will start smelling Krishna in every living entity. In every living entity, he will start smelling Krishna. Krishna's presence, in other words. He will start smelling Krishna here. So, gopis also says the same thing. Because he says here that whatever they have seen, Gopi says here, they are seeing that Krishna is present in there, inside, andakaranam, in the andakaranam. So, that darshanam, that is also called as parabhakti, parabhakti. So, in other words, when they have closed their eyes, or when they have opened their eyes, the same state. Normally, when we open our eyes, we see things, and from there, different emotions develop inside. Attachment or aversion. But once you close your eyes, it stops because you don't see anything. But here what's happening, once you close your eyes or opens your eyes, this doesn't happen. This doesn't, that means no impressions are created inside. So, Krishna says here, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says like this, that how this can be done in the Vyavaharam. That is the most important thing, isn't it? Normally a person who is not busy with the world, interacting with the world, he can avoid a lot of things in this world, is it not? Only when you have to deal with the world, you have problems. All these problems start. It's very difficult. People always ask this question, how in the work spot or office, how one can free oneself from this. It's bound to happen there, isn't it? So Krishna says here, in the earlier, if you look, Krishna mentions there, yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. There is a verse there before in the Bhagavad Gita. Yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. That is in the yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. What's that? I'll find myself. I got four options now. So I don't know, somewhere in the book. Krishna mentions that. Yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. Eight?
Two verses before.
Purushasa Bharatpala. Yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. That's what it is. So yasya sarveshu bhudeshu nashyat suna vinashyati. Krishna is saying here that the where does these emotions come? They come in the mind as well as in the body, isn't it? It manifests in the body or the mind. In mind and the body, this comes out. These emotions comes out in the mind or the body. And behind all these things, Krishna is present as the Antaryami. That is what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is present there as the Antaryami there. And suppose you feel a special attachment to someone, just like this is my son or my child in this way. Similarly, people have different kind of attachment in different things, isn't it? My wife, my caste, or my language, person who speaks my language, in different things, we have attachment in all these things, isn't it? Therefore, there is attachment. So, keeping this, Krishna is saying that presence of Antaryami, if you recognize in that, and keeping that in the mind, one should, that is actually an ignorance, ajnanam it is, to think like that. That means on a bodily level you are identifying with something. I am Indian, or I am American, I am European, or I am a Hindu, or I am so and so. In some way you have connection or attachment to certain things in this world. Krishna says that is ajnanam, avidya inside. And that avidya one should take it out from inside. And that's what Krishna says there, that keeping Krishna as Antaryami in every living entity, one should execute this sadhana and remove that ignorance from inside. That is the request from Krishna's side. Krishna says here, how do we know that Krishna is present inside in that person? When we say like that to somebody, that you should use that Krishna's presence as Antaryami and remove that ignorance. Reason is this, that when you see that there is priyam coming from inside to someone whom you have a special attachment, for example, family members or friends or any other person with whom you have a liking, where is that coming from? It's coming from Antaryami inside, is it not? From Antaryami comes that Priyam. And it is because of that that you are feeling that attachment to that person. Attachment to that person. Priyam comes from the Antaryami. Now, Krishna says, because it's coming from Antaryami, if you see in the other person also the presence of Antaryami, it will not cause problems. It will not cause problems. But on the wrong side, if you go and put that attachment on the body of the person, whether it is family members or whether it's friends or social circle, whoever it is, Krishna says that is avidya, ajnanam it is. Avidya or ajnanam it is. So knowing very well, because it has come from Antaryami, Krishna is saying that priyam, what has come from inside, you should hand over to the Antaryami in the other person. Because it has come from the Antaryami inside. See, this priyam we say when we meet people, all different types of people we meet in this world. I mean, some people you feel attachment or some kind of happiness when you meet some people. And that is mostly, it is based on the body. Suppose you will see that you have someone who is working with you in the office, you meet, you will have a relationship with that person. Or the place where you come from, you see a person, someone who has come from your own place or village, you will have a special relationship with him. Or if someone whom you have attachment on some other level, in a social level, or due to family relationships, if you see a family member, close family member, then you will have a special relationship with him. Krishna is saying, where is this attachment coming from? It's coming from the Antaryami inside. Krishna says, that is avidya, that if you start thinking attachment towards that body. But because it is coming from the Antaryami inside, Krishna says, direct that priyam, what is coming from inside, towards the Antaryami in the other person, then it will not cause any problem. Instead, if you identify with the body and transfer that priyam towards that body, it will cause distress. That is the point Krishna is making here. So, initially, Krishna is saying, it may not be possible to do that. But most of the people, when they hear this, they will try it out for 3 or 4 days and then they will give it up. Then they will give it up. Because what is the reason behind it? Why do they give it up? They know it is the right thing. We should not relate with other people on a bodily level. To think that somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy, or with someone you have a special attachment. All living entities are same, is it not? But most of the people, they will try this principle and they will give it up after 3 or 4 days. The main reason for that is the purva samskaram in a person. The samskaram what a person has brought with him before. So, therefore they will say, it's not working. They will say, it's not working. So, Krishna is saying to us that even if you see someone towards whom you have some ill feeling or hate, even to that person, Krishna is saying that it should be looked at it as the Antaryami, as Krishna is present inside and has to deal with him. But that is very difficult. Someone with whom you have a serious problems in life. So we will say, he will say according to his nature, I can't call him as Krishna is present inside, I can call him as a devil or a Satan or something like that. People will say like that. Because that is, he will argue with you, how can I show any respect to him? He is like a troubled person. So he will always call him in a wrong way. So he says here, and if you remember this in the Bhagavadam, Balaram went on a pilgrimage, isn't it? Balaram went on a pilgrimage. When Mahabharata war started, Balaram went on a pilgrimage. He did not want to be present in the war. Because on one side he had Bhima, who was his student, and the other side it was Duryodhana, also his student. He didn't want to see both these two students trying to kill each other. So, for a long time Balaram thought about this, and finally, when the war was over, Balaram came back after the pilgrimage. He went to all the holy places and came back. After he came back, he went to, war was over, but these two people are still there, Bhimasena and Duryodhana. So he went into the spot where they were ready to fight. Krishna was there, Arjuna was there, Yudhishthira was there, and Duryodhana was there, and Bhimasena was there. And Duryodhana is not dead yet. Everybody else, war is over. But Duryodhana and Bhimasena is still left. And Bhimasena and Duryodhana had to fight each other with the club. So at that time, Balaram walked in to that spot where they were going to fight. Walked into the spot, and Balaram told Duryodhana that both of you are equally good. Both of you are my students. They are both of you are very good. One of you are strong, that is Bhima. Bhima is strong physically, and Duryodhana is very skilled in the fight with the club. Fighting with the club. Duryodhana is very skilled, and Bhimasena is very strong. So, this should be avoided. Both of you, I suggest that you should withdraw from this. As soon as Balaram said this, Duryodhana started saying about Bhima. No question, he said, that this Bhima, what all he has done to us. A number of things Duryodhana has spoken. And Bhima, as soon as Duryodhana stopped, Bhima started. It's like that, isn't it? Bhima started, and Bhima started saying all what Duryodhana has done. And both of them spoke so much, Balaram said, I'm not going to mediate between you two. He said, beat up each other and kill yourself, he said. Then what does he say? Duryuktam duskritani cha. Sukhabrahmarshi says there about Duryodhana and Bhimasena. Duryuktam duskritani cha, he says. That all they have spoken of all the bad things what Duryodhana has done and all the bad things what Bhimasena has done. And all their activities. Duryuktam duskritani cha, he says. And when saying this, Balaram walked out from there. So that is the nature in the human species. If you hate someone, then you will not forgive easily. You may say, oh, apologize now. Apologize, they will say. What apology? And after that, the newspaper will pick it up from there. They'll continue further with the whole thing again. Is it not? It will not go easily. Once a hate develops inside, it is very difficult to take it out from inside. It's very hard. So that is why Balaram, knowing this very well, he said, there's only one solution now. He said, you fight it out and finish one of you, whoever is going to go. And that is how it happened. Bhimasena, he killed Duryodhana in that way, is it not? So because it is like that, Krishna says here that it is difficult that if you say to Bhimasena, now you pay your obeisances to Duryodhana, there was no question of Bhimasena paying obeisances to Duryodhana, nor Duryodhana will pay obeisances to Bhimasena either. So this hate, once it develops, grows, and after that, you can see this world also, that this once this hate develops inside, it is very difficult. And similarly, Krishna says here, as long as this hate is developing inside, what will happen is at the time of death, that these thoughts will build up so strongly inside, and this person whom you have hated maximum, hate whom you have developed, and he will come and appear in your mind in the form of thoughts. He will come and appear inside you. That is what Krishna is saying here. That it is an unavoidable thing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, to make this issue very clear, that is what that Bhikshu Gita has been spoken. Normally, we categorize everyone in the world into these three slots. Someone who is your friend, someone who is your enemy, and somebody else who is neither friend nor enemy. Is it not? In three categories, people are put into. So, but Krishna's point is, at the time of death, if you have not managed to keep everyone away from inside, they will all come back and create problems at the time of death. among them, those, the third category is not very troublesome, because you see them sometime, but you don't take notice of them. They don't take notice of you either. So they don't create any impressions inside. The first one, the friends, they are also not a very serious problem, because it's the human nature is to forget the friends very easily. But the second one, they are the most dangerous thing. Even a small relationship breaks down to a small degree, it will come back again, it will be burning inside. That is the nature of the mind. Krishna says here that once that has developed, then it will keep growing inside. And not only that, you may develop that hate in such a way, but nothing will happen to that person. It will happen to the person who is hating him. That is the main thing. That he will come, if you invite him, he will come home, he will have your prasadam, whatever you offer him, he'll take that and he will say hello to you and he will go. But what he will leave behind is that we will think about that person and that hate will get stronger inside and that will develop into an impression or a vasana inside. And that is why, therefore, in the, like Krishna spoke about that previously, isn't it? Yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam tejityande kaleparam tam tam evaidi kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavida. Because of that hate that is built up inside, we will leave this body hating him. With that hate inside, then what will happen is, we will have to come and take birth again in that family, in his family. But there is also interesting thing that when you take birth in another family, means we are thinking we are all so separate each other. Nobody is separate. In this creation, every living entity is connected with another living entity. One famous speaker in Bhagavatam says there that because these days there is not, people don't have many children. So for what is the option then? You have to go and take birth as a dog or a cat in the that person's house, in that with whom you have created that relationship. Because people are not keeping cows now anymore. All they are keeping is this dog. So you have to take that body. So most probably, because only if you have to take birth in that body, then you can bark at the person, isn't it? With whom you have that problem with that. It will develop in that way. So all these things may look a little bit difficult to understand, but the loss of karma will drag us in that direction. So, or sometimes you may have to get birth in such a way that you have to fight with your boss in the office whole lifetime. So, in somehow or the other, another birth will happen. Another time you'll have to accept the body again. So, basically Krishna is saying here, both loving and hate, both these things are troublesome. So, whomever we hate or with whomever we have loving relationship, both of them actually cause problem to us, not to that person. It is for us that problem happens. Therefore, Krishna says, one has to be alert and let people be anyway, whatever may they are, whatever way they are in this world. But from inside, we have to remove this. And to remove that, it is possible in one or two ways. One, through proper analysis of this relationship, the meaning of all this relationship. And externally, little by little, this Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi means this discrimination. In this way, it has to be removed. Otherwise, and Krishna calls it as, you have to put this sheath of armor around you. And if you remember, in the Narayana Kavacham, Krishna spoke about this. There is that famous verse. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there in the sixth canto, when Narayana Kavacham was spoken, there is one verse Krishna mentions as important. 31, 8th chapter. Yadha hi Bhagavan eva vastuda sadasa chayal satyenani nama sarve yanduna shavubadravaha. If you remember, that is the key verse of the Narayana Kavacham. Narayana Kavacham is a sheath which was given to in the Indra was instructed by
Vishwarupa.
Vishwarupa instructed Narayana Kavacham to Indra. So that Narayana Kavacham, which is the 8th chapter, it is for protection in this world. It is for protection in this world. Now, if you read the Narayana Kavacham, you will see there are so many verses asking different incarnations of Krishna to protect our different parts of the body. After saying all that, on the verse 31, he says, Vishwarupa says to him, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal Satyenani Enana Sarve Yandunasha Ubadravaha. He says, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva, that this whole creation itself, Sat Asat, this prabhanjam creation is compiles both, isn't it? The Sat is there, Asat is there in this creation. So this whole creation, which is a combination of both Sat and Asat, actually all of that is Krishna. And if that is the truth, he says, because alone with that, all my problems of this world be taken away because of that, if I have that realization. So realizing Krishna in all living entities means that if it is the truth, that is how Vishwarupa puts it to Indra. If that is the truth, Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasa Chayan Satyenanena Sarve Yandunasham Upadravaha. Let me not experience any distress in this world if Krishna is present in all the living entities. He concludes Narayana Kavacham in that way. It's a big lesson to learn that in order to move further in spiritual path, we have to come out of this understanding that everyone is a body. As long as on a bodily level, if you see people, and if you want to make progress on the spiritual path, that is not going to happen. Unfortunately, when there is no proper philosophical understanding of these things, people are thinking that by going to an institution or following certain rituals or process, one can realize the self. It does not happen. Self-realization means we have to do it inside as well as outside. And outside is more important here because we are dealing with the world. In Vyavaharam, it is more important. So, that is why it says, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasa Chayal Satyenanena Na Sarve Yandunasham Ubadravaha. He says here that if this creation, which is both Sat as well as Asat, and if that is the truth, then because of that truth alone, let all my distress or my problems be solved there itself. Let that not create any difficulties for me in this world. This is the mentions in the Narayana Kavacham. So there you can see the same thing what is spoken in this. Krishna mentions here that yena sarvamidam yasya andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tatam. He says. So this is where that is coming from. It's coming from there. So you can see yadahi bhagavan. So all problems should leave me. He says bhagavaneva vastudaha sat asat. Whatever we are seeing here, whether it is good or bad, both of them is Krishna. Both of them is Krishna. And that has to be very firmly hammered inside. Very firmly hammered inside. So because of that, let all problems go away from me. And that is what he is saying. Because, because the problem is, others let there be whatever way they live in this world, let them live in this world. But I develop a hate towards them, it will create a disturbance inside me. And if I develop a relationship with them, love with towards them, that will also create a disturbance inside. So, hate and love, they are the same thing in two different forms, that is. Both are same thing. Another form of love is hate. Another form of love is hate. So, if you keep love towards someone, and if you don't see them for a few days, then you can see there is distress inside. There is distress inside. Then you start thinking, oh, are they moving away from me? These thoughts will start coming. And then it will develop into hate inside. So here, Krishna is saying here that attachment and loving and hating is also both the same thing. They are not different. Why? From spiritual point of view, both loving and hating creates an impression inside. It forms some impressions inside and it will disturb the peace inside the mind. Inside the mind. That impression or form, in order not to get created inside, we should not know any other truth in this world except Krishna. That is the principle. In order to not to create any impression, that is the reason why Krishna is saying all these things. So that we do not create, the idea behind all this thing is, ultimately it should not create any impression inside. And in order that the love or the hate does not create any impression inside, Krishna says to us, you should not know any other thing in this world as truth except Krishna. Except Krishna. So this has to be practiced. And Krishna says in another way, Krishna mentions that is, make sure that you don't stick to anything, to anybody in this world. Not sticking to anyone. If you are careful about that, this won't happen. In other words, at the same time, you have to deal with people, with priyam, with pleasure. But at the same time, instead, it should not create any mark inside. It should not create any mark inside. But at the same time, you can see here, there will be a lot of problems in these relationships. So, Krishna says here, in order to not to create any impressions inside, the best thing to do is that, ultimately, there is no second object in this world except Krishna. If that realization gets stronger, fixed inside, then you won't feel any attachment or aversion towards another person. It may look all very difficult to follow, but this is the truth. That is the problem. That Krishna is speaking that if you do not take this on board, self-realization will be very difficult. Therefore, he says here that so only if you know that it is only Krishna who is present in everything, only then there will be peace inside. And as long as there is a separate existence for any other form or name in this world, it will keep giving trouble. Dvitiyam dvitiyat bhayam bhavati. Fear will come from duality. From duality, fear will come. As long as there is duality, there is fear. Is it not? As long as there is duality, if there is two, one will be fearful or the other. Fearful of the other. Not only that, not only fear, lust, anger, greed, all these things also are manifestations of the fear. Are manifestations of the fear. And Krishna says here, after removing all these things and knowing very well there is no another second object existing in this creation, accepting that principle, and one has to bring that into Vyavaharam also. One has to bring that into Vyavaharam also. If you do like that, Krishna says here that first thing, it requires mananam, contemplation inside. And living in that way, initially, one should practice that within the family members itself. Within the family members itself. And that means, does not mean that you call all your family members and saying that, oh, you're all Krishna, I'm starting doing abhishek on you now. And that's not what that means. What Krishna is saying here is that, that seeing them through the namarupam, through the name and the form, rather always inside this realization that it is the same. If priyam is coming from inside, it's coming from Andaryami, and that should be given to that Andaryami in the other person. In that way, if a relationship builds, this relationship as wife, children, that kind of relationship will disappear. That relationship will disappear. Otherwise, it is not possible. That's why sometimes you can see that marriage brings attachment, and that attachment brings distress later. Is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying here, that Andaryami, until we see that Andaryami, he said it will not have any impact on the person. And so one way Krishna puts it like this, that they did not exist before. They have come later in life, isn't it? Later on they will go also, those who have come in your life, in the form of wife, children, They are not going to be there forever. They'll come at a particular time in life, they had come, and a particular time in life, they will go. They will leave you and go. And therefore, the secret is, while they are with you, you have to live in their absence. While they are with you, you have to live as though they are not there. That is the secret Krishna is saying here. Otherwise, it is going to cause a lot of distress later. Krishna's point is that while they are there within the family, you have to live as though they are not there. They should not get inside. And this is the very secret of that relationship Krishna mentions here. And you can see here, wherever you can imagine this also, before they have all come into your life, life was going on in this world, is it not? But once they have come and spent some time with you, and then they have gone, and then you are feeling very distressed about life. Is it not? So many people suffer in that way. So, one day when they leave, also it causes problem. And or either they may leave or you may have to leave. We didn't come all together to this world same time, nor we will leave this world same time together. In between, all this drama goes on here, isn't it? In between, for a short period of time, this drama exists here. But if you take this drama very seriously, then Krishna is saying that you are going to end up in trouble. Not only on a material, spiritual level, forget it, there is no question. But on the material level also, it's going to cause a lot of distress. So you can see in Valmiki Ramayanam, to bring this principle, in Valmiki Ramayanam, there is an incident between Bharat and Ramachandra. Bharata goes to see Ramachandra, and Bharat is crying. When he went to see Ramachandra, Bharat is crying. So he says to him that, "You are my elder brother, I am your younger brother," says to him. "And you should be managing the kingdom. You should be managing the kingdom," he says. So, Dasasya Priyasya Prasadam Kartum Arhasi. So many things Bharata has spoken to Ramachandra at that time. So many things he has spoken to Ramachandra at that time. And he says to him, very, Ramachandra says to Bharata, very peacefully, he says, that in Valmiki Ramayanam, there is more literature and story. But in Adhyalpa Ramayanam and Yoga Vasishtam, it's more philosophy. In Valmiki Ramayanam, there is more story and also it's more literary creation it is. But in Adhyalpa Ramayanam, which Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled, and also in the Yoga Vasishtam, it is full of instructions. Tattvam is spoken there. And there is this famous discussion between Ramachandra and Bharata, which is known as Bharatopadesham. Ramachandra instructs Lakshmana also in one instance, which is called Lakshmanopadesham. And there is instructions to Bharata, which is known as Bharatopadesham. So, and similarly, later on Ramachandra also instructs Mandodari, Ravana's wife, after Ravana was killed, isn't it? Mandodari was in great distress. And Mandodari is a very famous personality. Among the great personalities, Mandodari, Ravana's wife also, is a great personality. But there is instructions to Mandodari also. So, there you see here that he says to him that in a river is flowing, two pieces of wood is floating there. And they come together and they'll travel together for a short period of time. They'll separate and go away after a while. Is it not? Normally we see this all the time. So he says to him, Yatha kashtamja kashtamja sameyadad maharnave. Who says this? Ramachandra says this. Yatha kashtamja kashtamja. He says, Yatha kashtamja kashtamja sameyatam maharnave. Sametyaja vapeyatam kalam asadhya kamchana. In the Ramayanam he says, as pieces of the wood floating on the ocean come together, so the so-called wives, children, kinsmen, wealth and property come together for a while and then they part with us. So their parting is, Ramachandra says to Bharata, is inevitable, unavoidable that is. There is no point in talking about that. Knowing this, Ramachandra says to Bharata that all these relationships you have spoken to me between you and me is also in the same way, he said. It is, actually instruction is not to Bharata, it's for us to take on board. If you start thinking that all these relations are real and it is this is the only thing to be done in life, there's nothing else, then Krishna is saying here that once they have met together, there is no more meeting again, second time, going to happen. So, this relationship, Sameteve Bhayadam Kalam Aswadhya Kanchana. Bharata, at that time, Bharata, when Ramchandra spoke this to Bharata, Bharata gives a certificate to Ramchandra. He says to Ramchandra, Yathamrita Tatha Jeevan, he says, that Yathamritam Tatha Jeevan, Yatham Asti Tatha Sati, Yasesha Buddhi Labhasyat, Paridapyeda Kenasa. How do I do that, he says, that who looks on life and death, misfortune or prosperity with an equal eye, and one who can deal with everyone in that way. How is that possible? Bharata mentions this to Ramachandra. So Ramachandra says to him that that one who has realized this truth, for him there is no distress, he says. But for him, when he is dead or while he is living, it is the same situation. And whether the person is there or not, he is not feeling depressed about it. Nothing makes any difference to him, he says. And therefore you, but nothing in this world can create any distress for him in this world. So Bharata says to Ramchandra, that situation has not happened to me, he says. So, it is at that time, Ramchandra says to him, anywhere, wherever we develop attachment, before that attachment develops, you have to think like this, that this is the underlying principle in the Vedantam also. What was not there before at the beginning and what is not there at the end does not exist in the middle either. Something that was not existing in the beginning and that's not existing at the end does not exist in the middle. Wife, children, husband and all that, it was not there in the beginning. It's not there at the end either. Therefore, they don't exist in the middle either. This is the theory behind it. It may sound all very theoretical, but that's up to the individual to take it or not. But the principle, what Ramachandra says to Bharata, because Bharata told Ramachandra that how do I come to that state? So Ramachandra says to him, something that did not exist in the beginning and that does not exist in the end, does not exist in the middle either. So that is the principle, and therefore he says to him that that there is no necessity to execute any particular sadhana for this. Only if you know this, that is sufficient, he says to him. So, adau andanjayat nasti vartamanebi tathatha. Knowing this, with whomever we come into relationship in this world, knowing very well this principle, we should deal with them. We should deal with them. Just like the waves has come from the ocean. Eventually the waves goes back into the ocean. Before the waves have come, the ocean was there. And finally the waves goes back into the ocean. So when they goes back into the ocean, still the ocean exists. So, but what exists is really the ocean, not the waves. Waves are not real, ocean is real. So, water, there is both in the waves as well as the sea, as well as in the ocean, what is there? Water is there, isn't it? So, jalam or water is the what is there. But if you know this and if you bring this knowledge into life, then most of the miseries of the vyavaharam or dealings in this world will go away. That is the process, what Ramchandra says to Bharata, that there is no other way to get out of the miseries of this world without keeping this principle in life, without keeping this. This is not a philosophy. This is a proper understanding of the reality of the life. That's what he's saying here, that that adau andam jayat nasti vartamane bhi tathatha. Adau andam jayat nasti, what is not there in the beginning, what is not at the end, does not exist in the middle either. Does not exist in the middle either. So this principle is important. Therefore, Krishna is saying, even in vyavaharam, even dealing with this world, we have to know not to get any attachment anywhere with anybody, in any situations. That there should be no connections. Attachment will be, connection will be there, priyam will be there, distress will be there. If the attachment develops, priyam will be there and distress will be there. That's the only way, Krishna says here, to remove that distress is what Krishna mentions in this verse, that is, to see that it is yena sarvam idam tatam. This is why that verse was spoken, that otherwise there is no possibility of taking that distress away from inside. What we require in spiritual life is shanti inside. And if constantly this coming and going is going to disturb our inside, then it is not possible to experience that shanti inside. That is why Krishna is saying here that this coming and going should not have create disturbances inside. And mainly in our relationships in this world, it is mostly the family members and friends who come inside and create all the disturbances. So they, Krishna says, the way to deal with them is in this way. That we do not, the suffering, the miseries that comes in vyavaharam is only possible to remove it in this way. So, yena sarvam idam tadam, Krishna says. So, at that time, once that realization comes, one who has realized that thing, Krishna says here, while he is living within this body itself, even before death happens to him, he has become perfect already. In this body itself, he has become perfect. If he has realized it, and if he is staying in that state, that shanti has come to him. For him, Krishna says, there is no birth, there is no death anymore. Because for him, all what exists is only Krishna. Only Krishna exists then. Yena sarvam idam tadam. Because by whose presence, one's anubhuti mandalam means whose field of activities is completely filled with whose presence. That means Krishna's presence. For him, and yasyandastani bhutani, that's what is Krishna uses the word there. Yasyandastani bhutani, he'll know that all living entities are present in Krishna. All living entities are present in Krishna. These two lines in that verse requires a lot of introspection. Which one? Yasyandastani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. That is why we have spoken about that to the extent we can look through it again and again. That what is the reason why Krishna has spoken those two lines? What is the impact of that in us, in our life? How that will create difficulties for us at the time of death? The solution to all those is those two lines. Yes, andastani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. So that is why it requires very deep introspection of those two lines in this verse. That is why Krishna is saying, Purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastva nanyaya. Yes, andastani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Yena sarvamidam tatam. Says here. So at that time, Krishna says that all living entities are present in Krishna. Krishna is present in all living entities. Practically, it is the state of a pure devotee, isn't it? Sarvabhudeshya pashyel bhagavad bhavam alpmana. Then agasham evastradam. That agasham evastradam. So everywhere, one who is seeing in that state, one who has seen Krishna's presence in all the living entities, for him, there is no necessity to perform any particular sadhana anymore. Because yena purushena sarvamidam jagat vyaptam akashena katati. Ayana Swami mentions that here. Then he says, പ്രകൃത്യാനാം കാര്യം ഹി കാരണസ്യ അന്തർവർത്തി ഭവതി യേന പുരുഷേന സർവം ഇതം ജഗത്തതം വ്യാപ്തം ആകാശേന ഇവ ഘടാതി. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പൻ ടു ഹിം ഈസ് ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദ സ്കൈ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ദി പോട്ട്, വി സെപ്പറേറ്റ് ദം ആസ് സെപ്പറേറ്റ് ദ സ്കൈ ഇൻ ദ പോട്ട് ആൻഡ് സ്കൈ ഔട്ട് സൈഡ്. ദാറ്റ് സെപ്പറേഷൻ ഹാസ് ഗോൺ അവേ ഫോർ ഹിം. ദർ ഇസ് ഓൺലി വൺ സ്കൈ വിച്ച് ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് എവ്രിവെയർ. ഇൻ സിമിലർലി there is only one Krishna who is present in everything. Separation has gone away, division has gone away from inside. Once that division has gone away, raga dvesham won't develop inside anymore, and therefore he is protected. He is not create any impressions inside, therefore at the time death the mind will not cause any problem for him. That is why he mentions like that. So for such a person, for him at the time of death, death is not a problem anymore after he has realized this truth. But in his situation will be, if he has realized this, Krishna, whatever situation he has put this person in, it will not cause any problem for him, whether he die in Uttarayanam or he die in Dakshinayanam. You know these 6 months Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. The in a year, the when the sun travels the 6 months in the north of the equator, that period is known as the Uttarayanam, and the south of the equator is called the Dakshinayanam period. So in the next two verses, Krishna is going to talk about those who are leaving the body in the 6 months when Krishna, when the sun travels in the northern side, and another 6 months when it travels in the south side. But these two verses is also created a lot of confusion in people's mind. Why? Generally what happens is, people read these verses and they start thinking, suppose generally this period comes from say between the 6 months of the northern hemisphere when the sun travels in the north, if anybody leaves the body, people say that he has died at a good time, Uttarayanam time. For example, Bhishma departed the time, they say that he was waiting for Uttarayanam to come, Uttarayanam. So when someone leaves the body in Dakshinayanam, then they say that his destination is not very certain, whether he has gone into a good destination or not. Because of that, it has created an impression in people's mind that those who leave the body in Uttarayanam goes to a good destination, and those who leave the body in Dakshinayanam goes into a lower destination. If you look at that in the verse 24 and 25 is referring to that. 24 and 25 is referring to this departure of the soul in Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. So these two periods, 6 months is Uttarayanam and 6 months is Dakshinayanam. So people think that when the sun travels in the north, that is the Uttarayanam period, and when the sun travels in the south, that is the Dakshinayanam period, isn't it? So these two verses, before we go into that, let us understand it a little bit better, because this has caused a lot of problems in our. We need to understand that very clearly. So Krishna is saying here, irrespective of whether you are in, you leave the body in the Uttarayanam period or in the Dakshinayanam period, irrespective of that, if this knowledge is inside, if this realization is inside, and suppose he leaves the body in the Dakshinayanam time, Krishna says he will go back. But if you don't have this knowledge, this realization inside, and if you leave your body in Uttarayanam, he won't go back. The opposite thing. In the next two verses, Krishna is saying, Agnir Jyotirha Shukla Shanmasa. We'll come to that verse later. First verse says, those who leave their body in Uttarayanam period, they go back to the higher planets or higher destination. In the 6 months when the sun travels in the south, which is the Dakshinayanam period, if you leave the body, you go into not so auspicious, probably to Pitralokam, and you will come back here again, it says. If you leave the body in Uttarayanam, you go up. If you leave in Dakshinayanam, you come back. That is how those two verses are spoken. But here, prior to that, Krishna is saying to us that if you leave, if you have realized this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in 22, Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastvan Anyaya Yasyandasthani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. Such a person who has realized this in the verse 22, if he lives in Dakshinayanam or Uttarayanam, he will go back. That is the point. If he lives in Uttarayanam or Dakshinayanam, doesn't matter, he will still go back. And therefore he says here, whether he dies in the Himalayas or he dies in the road, on the road in an accident, he will still go back. Krishna's point is like that. In other words, whether he dies in Vrindavan or Benares or anywhere, doesn't matter. Or Shobhajastha Grihe Bhava, even if he dies in the house of a dog eater, still he will go back. Krishna says, provided he has realized this in this life here. So, irrespective of where you leave this body, it is immaterial as far as this realization is concerned. If the realization comes in this life before death, no matter where you leave the body, you will go back. You will go back. You won't have to come back again, accept another body again. That is the first guarantee Krishna gives here. Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyastananyaya Yasya Andastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. Those two lines you have to go through a lot. That Yasya Andastani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam. They explain a lot of things that how Krishna, what Krishna is talking about. If you connect it with Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see Krishna has spoken the same thing to Uddhava also. So taking all that into account, if you have realized Yena Sarvamidam Tadam, if that realization has happened, whether it is Uttarayanam or Dakshinayanam, or where you leave the body, Vrindavanam or Benares or Himalaya, doesn't matter, wherever it is, you will still be released from the cycle of birth and death. Birth and death is finished for that person. And says here. So, and he is liberated. Because for him, the body dropping away is not anymore an issue. Body, leaving the body is not an issue anymore. But if you have not reached that state, if you haven't reached that, on the other hand, lot of other yoga sadhana you have done in this world. Those who have done a lot of yoga sadhana. Yoga sadhana means here, chanting the holy name, meditation, or other kind of rupa dhyana, in other words, deity worship, other kinds of upasana, pranayama, and so many other yoga processes. One has done all that. He has done all this and come to a very higher position in this world. But this realization has not happened to him. There are many people in that state also, isn't it? They have done a lot of sadhana in this life, engaged in various upasana. For example, people who are very serious about spiritual life, they will be very busy with their sadhana, in a daily sadhana, and studying the shastram, worship of the deity, associating with devotees. In this way, one has lived a life in this world. And he has progressed in that way, but he did not realize this, what Krishna has spoken in verse 22. It hasn't happened to him. He has done everything what he can do, but realization has not happened to him. What is his destiny? That is the question then, isn't it? That if you reach this state, Asyandasthani Bhudani Yena Sarvamidam Tadam, Krishna says, nothing to be worried about. After that, you are going back, not coming back again, accepting another body. But of those who have not reached that state, but those who have executed a lot of sadhana in this life, everybody is in different situation in this world, isn't it? Some people have never taken anything seriously, spiritual life. For them, they are saying to us that, well, if he's giving you some peace of mind, carry on. That's their approach in life. They think it is only for peace of mind we are doing all these things, because they don't have any faith in the soul or life after death. There is no such understanding in them. So such people, they take it on a different level. They're, as far as they are concerned, eating, sleeping, mating and defending is all about in life. Nothing more than that. So that's one group. Then there are others who have come to spiritual life and due to various prarabdham, they could not complete that whole thing. Due to prarabdham, mostly due to prarabdham. They got interested in spiritual life. They do understand that what Krishna is talking about makes sense. And they do accept it. But unfortunately, due to various prarabdham, they are unable to grow further. Various way caught up in this world. So in that situation, what will happen to him? This is what Krishna is going to say. In 6th chapter, Arjuna asked this question to him. The same question Arjuna raised at that time. Halfway, if you drop out, what will happen? That's what happened. Listen, Arjuna's question was like that. Halfway, if you drop out, what will happen? You didn't complete it. You couldn't make it in this lifetime. Because, do you have to start from the beginning again, the whole thing, in the next life? This was Arjuna's question. Do you remember that? In the 6th chapter, Arjuna asked this question. You know there's a game called Snakes and Ladders. You go a ladder and reach up to 1995, and if there is a snake, you come down all the way back to square one again. So is it like that? That was Arjuna's question. You'll see in the sixth chapter, you'll see that Arjuna asking that question mentions there, Nahi kalyanakat krishchit durgadim thada gachadi. That was that verse. Nahi kalyanakat krishchit durgadim thada gachadi. And Krishna answered at that time, if you look into the 6th chapter, verse 40, 6th chapter. Krishna is saying here, in the verse 38, Arjuna asked a question. Kachin no bhaya vibhrastas chinna brahmiva nashyati apradishto mahabaho vimudho brahmana apathim. O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man, being deviated from the path of transcendence, perish like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere? Edanye samshayam Krishna chetumarhasi asheshada todanya samshayasyasya chetana hyubavadyade. This is my doubt, O Krishna. I ask you to dispel it completely, but for yourself, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. Isn't it? And the earlier verse in 37, Arjuna says, Ayadi shraddhayo bedo yoga chalida manasa aprape yoga samsiddhim kam gadi Krishna gachati. Verse 37. So there Arjuna also asked the same question, that Ayadi shraddhayo bedo yoga chalida manasa aprapi yoga samsiddhim kam gadi Krishna gachadi. Arjuna says, what is the destination of the man of faith who does not persevere, who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Perfection in mysticism. This was Arjuna's question. And in answer to that, Krishna mentions there in the verse 40, Partha naivehana mutra vimshastasya vidyade nahi kalyanakrat kaschid durgadim tada gachadi. Blessed Lord said, O Partha, transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with the destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. So, that was spoken in the 6th chapter, isn't it? That was spoken in the 6th chapter. Here again, Krishna is saying here that there he has mentioned that wherever he has left behind, he will start from there. He will start from there. And when he gets his next body, he will start practicing from where he has left it. So, if you continue doing like that, at a particular stage, Krishna is saying he will not come back to this earthly planet again. He will not. So, he will go and take birth somewhere in some higher planets. Somewhere in a higher planets. So, that is a possibility. That's a possibility, Krishna is saying. That's a possibility that he may go and take birth in a higher planet. So, here one question comes. In Sanatana Dharma or in the Vaidika Dharma, this concept of believer and non-believer is different. Is different. What we call as Astika and Nastika, isn't it? Astika is one who believes and Nastika is one who has no belief, isn't it? Who has no atheist or whatever. We call it as atheist, isn't it? There's a difference here. In normal other religions and all, they say that, do you believe? That's how they put it to you. Do they believe in so and so? In all other religions, it is like that, isn't it? If you believe in him, you are a believer. If you don't believe in him, they say you are an atheist. You don't believe in that. You are an atheist. That is how you are very clearly told like that, isn't it? But in the Vedic philosophical way, in Vedam, it is not accepted in that way. That is not the principle. Vedantam, while it says like that, first thing you have to accept is this, that after, it is not whether you believe in God or not, that is not the important issue. That's not an important issue at all, whether you believe in God or not, because it doesn't mean anything at the end, whether you believe it or not. As far as he is concerned, whether you believe it or not, what does it matter? As far as God is concerned. So, in Vedam, it's not given any importance whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. That is not any significance at all. But what is important is, after leaving this body, there are higher planes of levels of existence or higher planes of existence. Urdhvalogam. Urdhvalogam means higher planets. There is a different level of existence. And there is a possibility that the living entity after leaving this body can go to those higher planets. And it is possible to take birth in the higher planets. Or equally, there are possibilities of going down to lower planets and take birth there in the lower planets also. So, if one has faith in these things, then Vedam says that he is a believer. These are important for the Vedam. Not the person God is there or not. That is no meaning at all. Important principle is that after death, it's a possibility that you may go to higher planets where you may get a birth in a higher form, higher existence. Or after leaving this body, it is also possible due to our activities in this world, we may have to go back to a lower planets and accept a lower body in another species. If you accept this and if you are living on this principle, then you are a believer. You are a believer. Not based on the principle whether a personal God you believe or not. That is not much meaning. Because personal God, whether you believe it or not, it's not going to matter very much to him. You may like it or not, that doesn't matter. But important principle is this thing, that after leaving this body, there is a possibility that I may have to go into another situation, I continue to exist. And that existence, it could be on a higher level of existence, higher plane, higher level of existence, or it may be on a lower level of existence. If this is accepted, then you have accepted the Vedic conclusions. Accepted the Vedic conclusion. In other words, drishti or what we see is not the authority. What we come to the conclusions with our intelligence, that is not the authority. Vedam is the authority. Vedam is the authority. There, they won't allow any compromise or there is no possibility of any deviation from that. It is an important principle in the Vedic philosophy. That, so that authority Vedam says to us, Tatrada Vedam. In other words, Vedam is telling us, it's not that they have written all these things out of madness. They are telling us there are different planes of existence. Bodily level, you can't go every decision. You can't make based on the body. That means if you leave this body, there are higher planes of existence in the heavenly planets. That is why when they tell us there is Bhulogam, Ghoralogam, Surgalogam, Tapolokam, Janalogam, Maharlogam, Satyalogam, right up to Brahma's planet, different planetary situations on a higher level is spoken. Similarly, on the lower level also, Adalam, Taladalam, Sutalam, Padalam, like that, lower planetary systems also spoken in the Bhagavatam, is it not? So this higher planetary system, lower planetary system, accepting the body in the higher planets, lower planets, belief in that is more important than believing in one particular personal God. Because if you have not believed in this, all other things makes no sense. First thing is accepting that after death we have to accept another body. That is more important than believing in one personal God somewhere. Most of the people don't take this into account. They are always saying to us, oh, after death, if you ask them this, we don't know what happens after death, they'll say. But Vedam says to us, Vedam is very particular about this, that accept this principle first, that after leaving this body, you may have to go into a higher level of existence or to a lower level of existence based on the principle of karma. Principle of the karma. It is both Vedam and Upanishads also is very firm on this principle. So Puranams also says the same thing. So one can go and take birth in so many different species spoken there, isn't it? In Bhagavatam, there is listed there a number of them. Pitralokam, Devalokam, Gandharvalokam, and Charanas, Kinnaras, Prajapati, so many different versions they have spoken there. And Shruti and Vedam is talking to us about all that. Those whoever has faith in all these things, they are called Astika. And those who do not, and nowhere it is mentioned, you have to believe in a personal God in any of these things. And at the same time, monotheistic, as it mentioned. So, in basically, you will also notice another interesting thing here, that there are six different philosophies which has come from the Vedam, isn't it? Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshyam, Purvamimamsa, Uttaramimamsa. The six different philosophical concepts. They all vary. They all came through six different sages. Sankhyam came through Kapila Maharshi. Sankhyam Nyayam, Gautama Maharshi. Yogam, Patanjali. And Vaisheshyam, Kanada Maharshi. Purvamimamsa, Jaimini. And Uttaramimamsa, Vedavyasa Maharshi. These six different philosophies, which all have come from the Vedas, none of them insist on any personal God. Any personal God. What they insist on is this principle, that after leaving the body, the soul has to go either to a higher plane or to a lower plane and accept a body according to his karma in this world. We'll stop there. We'll continue later. So, before moving into the verse 23, there is a background to know few things. As I mentioned before, that this concept, one is a believer or a non-believer, astigam or nastigam, that is not based on a personal God in the Vedic tradition. Vedic tradition, if you believe that after death, that after leaving this body, it is possible that we may go on to a higher plane of existence or to a lower plane of existence. If you have accepted that much, that is sufficient as far as the Vedam is concerned. Vedam is not too bothered whether you have accepted a particular God in a particular place as you believe in him. People say like this, isn't it? I believe in God, which doesn't mean anything. So, here, as I mentioned, out of the all the six different systems of philosophy, Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, these six different philosophical concepts, only in Vedantam they have given importance to a personal worship of the Lord, personal form of worship. None of the other has given importance to that. A personal worship and personal presence of God and that worship is only in Vedantam. But in Vedantam again, there is Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, three different, but they are all Vedantam only. So here what you have to know is the other five major philosophical schools of thought, namely Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Purvamimamsa, none of them have given much of an importance to a personal God. It's only in the Vedantam this personal God has given importance to, and the belief in that as well. So here you can see that that is another side for philosophy, those who are interested in the philosophy. But they are still called, although the other, apart from Vedantam, the other one, Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, all of them are called Astik. They are not called Nastik. Even though they have not accepted as a personal form of worship. Even though they have not accepted, that is why Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, and similarly Vaisheshikam, similarly Jaimini's Mimamsa Darshanam, all of them are acceptable, because Mimamsa, if you study, Jaimini is a disciple of Vedavyas. Vedavyas gave us Vedantam. And from Vedantam, Jaimini, who is a disciple of Vedavyas, he believes in the Karmagandam of the Vedam, and he gave us the Jaimini Bhashyam on the Karma Mimamsa is there. Nowhere it's reference to any personal God. It's all based on the sacrifices and the yajnam, yagam, homam, all that they have to perform. And that aspect of the Vedas is spoken there rather than realizing a personal God somewhere. That's what's spoken. But in spite of that, because they believe in this principle, that after death, the soul can go to a higher plane of existence or to a lower plane of existence depending on the karma. That will decide where he should go, higher or lower level. If that much is accepted, he is called an Astik or believer in the Vedam. In the Vedic tradition, it is like that. So, because they have accepted all these things, they are still accepted in the Vedic tradition. In the Vedic tradition. So, this living entity, Jiva, inside, in a state of ignorance if he leaves his body, if he leaves his body in a state of ignorance, then he can go into a lower planets or to a lower species. He may come to the same planet, but he may go into a lower species of life. Or he may go to lower planetary systems, possible. Similarly, if he leaves this body in knowledge, if he leaves the body in knowledge, it is possible that he can go to a higher state of existence, in a higher body. And that is why you will see in the Bhagavadam, in several places, reference to so many different living entities, isn't it? Kinnaras, Charanas, Gandharvas, Guhyakas, Yakshas, Pidralokam, and so many different places, it is spoken about various species which we have not even come across personally ourselves. We haven't met anyone. For us, what exists is what we see. Only what we see, it exists for us. Nothing else. So, it is from there, you have to know that. Then, Krishna is also mentioning there, if you go to the higher planes of existence, based on your pious activities, when that pious activities runs out, you have to come back here. Kshine punye marthi logam vishandi. Krishna says that, is it not? You know, in the Bhagavadam, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Shine Punya Marthya Logam Vishandi. When the Punyam is finished, when the Punyam is over, come back to this Marthya Logam, earthly planet. He says like that. So that means he has come back to this human body again. So if you go to the Pitrulokam, the forefathers' planet, and as it is called Pitrulokam, then in due course of time, let me explain this. If you go to the Pitrulokam, and in due course of time, once your pious activities results are over, what will happen? That Upanishads are saying that you will have to come through the clouds and come through the rain, and through the rain it has to take birth in the form of a plant or a tree. And while that plant or the tree is eaten by the human species, it enters through that, through the male form, into the female body, and it develops a body in the female species. In the female body, it takes another birth. Now, this is from the concept that after accepting all this principle, Krishna is saying here that it is a possibility. It's a possibility that if you have gone to higher planets, you will come back here. Through karmam, you go back to the higher planets, isn't it? Go to the higher planets. And suppose you have gone to Pitrulokam. Pitrulokam has even a higher standard than here of life. But when your results of your pious activities is exhausted, then you have to come back here. And the process of coming back is like this, that you come through the clouds, through the rain, and come through the trees or plants, and enters into the male body who eats that food through the form of plant or the fruits that comes from the, or the food that comes from the plant or the tree, enters into the male body, and from there, through him, it enters into the female body. And then he develops his next life in the female body's womb, and he comes out later as a living entity. So, if you look at this way, various processes in the Vaidika samskaram, in the Vedic culture, Shruti says various points there. And if you start looking for philosophically answers to many questions here, you won't get it. It's not possible. If you start questioning, how do you know this? How do you know that? All kinds of questions will come. Only Shruti tells us that this is how it happens. Either you accept it or you leave it. Doesn't matter. Now, this process is spoken in the Upanishads known as Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya, there are so many processes mentioned in the Upanishads, and one of them is called Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya is mentioned there. Prabhupada also mentions Panchagni Vidya in one of the purports. I don't know where it is. Somewhere he mentions about Panchagni Vidya. Now, Brahma Vidya. Now, in all these Vidya, what is spoken there, there is confusion. You may not get a very clear answer to all your questions. In Brahma Vidya, there is no confusion. That is the point Krishna wants to say here in the Bhagavad Gita. In Brahma Vidya, there is no confusion. All other Vidya, what is spoken in the Upanishads, there is questions. You may have questions. You may not get a very clear answer to that questions. It is not possible. Because here in Brahma Vidya, important thing is only Brahmam exists. Everything else is Maya. Everything else is Maya. Do you see the difference, what I am saying? That in Brahma Vidya, Vedantam, only Brahmam is the truth. Rest everything is Maya. Rest everything is Maya. So, whatever that's happening within the Maya has no importance. Only Brahmam is the truth. Only Brahmam is the reality. Only Brahmam is the reality. Everything else is Maya. But if you go through the other process, which we have spoken before, through these various processes mentioned in the Upanishads, Panchagni Vidya and others, even if you have practiced it, what will happen? It is very difficult to say how things will happen, because Panchagni Vidya, if you have executed, Panchagni Vidya, if you have executed, it is possible that you will go to the higher planets. But to specifically say how long and when will you come back, what body you will accept again when you come back, those things are very difficult to say. Those things are very difficult to say. There's a lot of questions there. In other words, in order to, if you have not accepted this Brahma Vidya, if you have not accepted this Brahma Vidya, you have to transcend, you have to go beyond all other Vidya. In other words, if you have not known this Brahma Vidya, everything else below that, there is confusion there. There is confusion there. Because Brahma Vidya is the only thing that hits you directly to the truth. Directly to the truth. You can see here itself, people come to hear so many things, isn't it? In spiritual life also. They read so many books, they read so many, say watch different programs on the television, or they hear from different people, from stories, from Puranas, in different stories from Puranas and all. So when you hear all these things, there will be millions of questions inside. You will have questions. You can't blame the person for that. Naturally, many questions will come. And if you don't get a clear answer, you are more confused. You start wondering, is this all? What is the right thing? And then there will be contradictions also in the Shastram, in some places. The reason for that is, Puranams have God can only take you at a certain level, but then after that you have to hit the truth directly, which is Brahma Vidya. If you leave Brahma Vidya behind and continuously ponder around all other things what is spoken in the Shastram, you will not reach the goal, rather you will be stuck in that level, in that plane of confusion. In other words, there's a lot of confusions will come. And then you will carry on with all the confusions inside, a lot of conflicts inside, lot of contradictions inside, and one day you will get so difficult for you that you may have to leave everything. That is why it is said that Brahma Vidya is the Vidya that is directly taking to the truth. There is no question of looking back into the history, past or future or anything like that. Straight away spoken the truth as it is. And if you directly accept it that way, then other things what is spoken should not cause much of a problem. Much of a problem. That is why you will see here that in the Mundaka Upanishad, that is important Upanishad, it mentions there that the spiritual master is telling the child, he says here that Dhanur Hitva Upanishadam Mahantam Mahastram Sharam Upasa Nishidam Sanghayati Ayas Ayabhya Tad Vagadena Chetasa Lakshyam Tade Vaksharam Saumya Vidhi. One of the hymns in the Mundaka Upanishad, it says to him, Dhanur Grihitva Upanishadam Mahastram. Take your bow, and Upanishad is the astram, is the arrow. Sharam, he Upasanashidam Samadhita. And Upasana is your strength behind it. Upasana. With a strong Upasana behind. Upasana means strong practice of spiritual life in spiritual realizations. Ayamya tad bhagavadena chedasa lakshyam tad eva aksharam saumya vidhi. He says that your goal is decided. What is that? Realization of the self, Brahmam. Brahmam realization. With that goal in your, with the Brahmam as the goal, shoot the arrow towards Brahmam and keeping thus, Dhanur Grihitva Upanishadam Mahastram Sharam Hi Upasanashidam Samadhahita Ayam Medad Bhagavadena Chedasa Lakshyam Tad Ega Aksharam Saumya Vidhi. The goal is important in this case. That means Brahmam is the goal. Brahmam realization is the goal, which means self-realization is the goal. And anything that will help self-realization, you can take it from the other Shastram. So many Shastrams there to give various things. But if you simply read all the Shastram, But without this goal in the friend, if you live your life in this world, it will not take you to the goal. So, Upanishad says here, pranavodhanum sharohyatma brahmadallakshanam uchyate apramatena vethavyam sharavat tanmayo bhavet yasmin dhu prithivi chantrikaksham odham manasaha pranischa sarvai tam evegam janata atmanam anyavacho vimunchada amadasseva setum. So here he says here that while you are within this body, if it has not happened, that means if you have not reached that goal, while within this body itself, all other planes, all other knowledge in the Puranams and other literature also is quite confusing. Very difficult to give a clear answer. Only in the case of Brahma Vidya, Krishna has spoken a clear and definite result. Only in the case of Brahma Vidya. All other things, for example, going to heavenly planets, Surgalokam, or to even to Pitrulokam, and coming back here and accepting another body, on those things, you cannot get a clear, guaranteed result. Nothing is clear. Because Krishna is saying that depends a lot on to the karma also, what you have performed. Whereas Brahma Vidya is concerned, once that realization happens, that is its direct transfer from this body to realize the self. So, so all the lower planes is full of confusion. You can see here that in the Bhashyam also, in the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, when the Chatursutram, you know, the Chatursutri Bhashyam, that is the Karmanevadhigaraste, Ma Bhale Shukada, Chana Ma Karma Bhala Hedurbur, Ma De Sangusta Karmani. That Chatursutram, after saying that, Ajani Swami mentions here, I have spoken everything what is to be spoken with clear knowledge, with clear understanding. After this, he says, there are so many other topics related to this world. Loga Vishayam, he says, related to this world. And we can talk about this, but he says here, if you start studying those topics, some of them will be correct, some of them could be wrong. You may have to know this because in Puranam, when you study, when you start reading Puranam, you will have so many questions. What is going to happen at the end? Is it not? Every time, everybody gets this problem. It's not that everything is very clear. You will see a lot of devotees are engaged in spiritual life all over the world, in so many temples and so many locations. Do you think that they are engaged in spiritual life after everything is clear to them? Even 10% won't be clear what is going to happen. They're not clear about it. 90% is all in confusion and with questions. But due to some powerful personality who has realized the truth, due to his presence, they have built up some faith. And on the strength of that, they are doing. But they are not clear what they are doing. They are doing various things. But it's not that they know the result, what's going to come. No, they don't know. They don't know the result yet. But in Brahma Vidya, what is the difference? Krishna is saying, if this goal is kept, realization of the self, and if this knowledge what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is accepted, the result is guaranteed, he's saying. Result is guaranteed. There is no confusion there. Whereas in all other processes, there is always a certain degree of confusion, which will not go away till we go to a higher level of understanding. It is not possible. While remaining in this body, in this present state, if some questions are asked, any even very learned person will find it difficult to answer. Because why? And that is why we have so many different philosophies and different schools of thought has come up like this, in this way. So practically you can see that the same confusion comes with Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam also. The same confusion. that Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, two timings, different times, 6 months Uttarayanam and 6 months Dakshinayanam. So in the next verses, that that is what he is going to say here, that what happens to Jiva when he lives in Uttarayanam and what happens to him when he lives in Dakshinayanam. When he lives in Dakshinayanam. So both of them, that Jivas travel upwards and Jivas return. That is why the next two verses, let us look at that now. Yatra kale tvana vrittim avrittim chaiva yoginam prayadayantidam kalam vakshyami bharadarshabham. Yatra kale tvana vrittim avrittim chaiva yoginam prayadayantidam kalam vakshyami bharadarshabham. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, one does or does not come back. One does or does not come back. Yatra kale tvanavrtim avrtim chaiva yoginam prayata yandidam kalam vakshyami bharadarshabha. In other words, up to this verse 22 is a very straightforward and clear direction to us. He says, Purushasa parapartha bhaktya labhyastananyaya yasya andastani bhudani yena sarvamidam tatam. If that verse is realized, then Krishna is saying guaranteed no coming back. In 22, no coming back. From 23, Krishna is saying, those who are living in two different timings in this world. Now, verse in 22, whoever leaves the body in 22 verse, based on verse 22, whether Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, doesn't matter. He goes, doesn't come back. But in 23 onwards, 23, 24, 25, that's the three verses actually. 24 and 25, the two different Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam. 24 is Uttarayanam and 25 is Dakshinayanam, talking about. When you leave the body, what will happen? That's what Krishna is going to discuss now. This chapter, 8th chapter, is a very important chapter and requires a lot of introspection and reflection. Because if this chapter is clear inside, a lot of confusion will go away. Otherwise, what will happen is, because we don't take Bhagavad Gita seriously, if you hear so many other things in this world, Puranic stories or other, based on the, I heard this story, I heard that story. And then we also have got confusion with various demigods and what they have got to do with me. All these questions will come, is it not? And you also see their temples are there for the demigods, they are being worshipped there. And there are great personalities who have worshipped the demigods and they have also progressed in spiritual life. When you hear all these things, various questions will come in the mind. It's quite natural. You can't avoid that. And then they'll say, oh, Hinduism is all a complete confusion, they say. But actually it is no confusion because people are not studying Bhagavad Gita seriously. That Krishna has spoken in a way that, and Acharyas have given us commentary to make us understand that God, a personal God exists, there exists, what He does is not the important thing for us. What's important for us? What's happening to us here? That is more important, isn't it? When we leave this body, what will happen? That is the first question. Everyone is facing that question. When I leave this body, what's going to happen? And there is a whole science behind it. And it is that science Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, that if these realizations happened here and this ajnanam, avidya from inside has gone away, identification with the body is lost,
you don't come back here. Go back to the, you realize the truth and you escape from here. If not, you have to come back. And if you are coming back, then what will happen? And that is a number of confusions there. That is very difficult to answer that question. Because people want to know, what will make you to get the dog's body? If you ask the question, what will you answer for that? Suppose a person who has developed a mentality of a dog, he has to come back as a dog. That is a general answer. But suppose he has done some pious activities also, and he has a consciousness which is not very conducive, what will happen to him? How do you make that decision? That is why the confusion comes. Answer is very difficult to give answer to that question, isn't it? So like that, there are so many questions people have about spiritual life. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? There is no answer to all that. You may have a lot of confusion about that, and therefore it is better not to do research into it. Not to do research into it. You may have to either accept whatever that is favorable for your self-realization, you may take it from that. That is why while studying Srimad Bhagavatam also, you may have a number of questions. Number of questions will come. Definitely it will come. And there will be some answer somebody may give you. Whether it will satisfy you or not, that is another thing. It's very difficult to say that. Is it not? For example, you can see, Akrura went to Krishna, to collect Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavanam to bring them to Mathura. And Akrura was such a great devotee that as soon as he came to Vrindavanam, he fell down on the ground and paid obeisances to Krishna and Balaram for giving that opportunity for him to come to Vrindavanam. And when he saw Akrura Stuti in the Bhagavadam, if you read, when he saw Krishna and Balaram, how Akrura was feeling the ecstatic emotions in him. The feeling that bhakti in Akrura is, Shukha Brahmarshi says that when he was taking Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura from Vrindavanam, that when he had to perform his ablutions in Yamuna River, when he went into the water, he saw Krishna and Balaram inside the water. He came back and looked in the chariot. Krishna and Balaram was sitting in the chariot as well. So he gets completely confused. At that time, Krishna asked him, is the water very cold, Akrura? Is that why your feelings shivering like this? He says. Made a joke of it. Krishna made a joke of it with Akrura, asking him that, did you feel the cold? The water was so cold that you feel shivering like this, he said. But actually, Krishna has applied the Maya on Akrura and appeared himself inside the water, Krishna and Balaram, like in the Vaikuntha planet. And when he looked back in the chariot, they were sitting there. This Akrura, who was such a great devotee, how did he eventually ended up, had to stay away from Krishna? Is it not? Something very interesting, isn't it? That such a great devotee, who felt so ecstatic by being the presence of Krishna, and who loved Krishna so much, he had to go away and stay in Banaras for many, many months away from Krishna. Because he got implicated with that Satrajit and Samandaka story. Is it not? So, if you ask the question, why did this happen? There is no answer. There is no clear answer to that. Some people say that because Akrura took Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavanam without Gopi's permission, Gopis have cursed him. That's one of the explanations given to it. But if you ask that is the question, who knows about that? That's an answer given to that. That in Katha, when you spoken, so many things will be spoken in that way to satisfy our curiosity, why it happened, if you ask the question. But irrespective of that, Krishna is saying here now, in this chapter particularly, this difficulty is there. That Krishna talks about the truth first. And that is why in that verse 22, Krishna is saying to us that Purushasa Parapartha Bhaktya Labhyasvananyaya Yen Yasya andasthani bhudani yena sarvamidam tadam. A perfectional state of realization. Once you have realized that, Krishna says, he is not going to come back. He is gone from here. Doesn't have to come back. But from afterwards, in the next three verses, when he is now talking about a situation where if you leave the body in a particular time, what can happen? If you leave the body in another time, what can happen? In a general way, he is going to talk about that. That is why these next words. Yatra kale tvanavrtim avrtim chaiva yoginam. But have you noticed one thing? Krishna uses the word yogina. Yogina means those who are executing yoga practices and they didn't make it. they are yogina. This does not apply to ordinary people who are not doing any sadhana, who are not engaged in spiritual life at all. These verses don't apply to them. It only applies to yogina who are executing yoga process. Any yoga process, karmam, jnanam, bhakti, it doesn't matter. If any of the yoga process, if he is executing, and then he did not make it, he was not perfect in that yoga process, for him what will happen, that is the next two or three verses about. So you should not think that anyone who left the body in Uttarayanam will go back, or anyone who left the body in the Dakshinayanam will come back. That is not what it means. It only applies to those who have practicing spiritual life seriously in this life for liberation, to free escape from here. But somehow or the other, they did not make it. It didn't happen. In their case, what will happen? That is what is spoken there. So, coming back to that verse says, Yatra gale tvanavrtim avrtim chaiva yoginam. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So, by this time period, again bringing the time back into it, Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, isn't it? Time again. We have earlier said time has no meaning in spiritual life. Now, if you are coming back to the time again, Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam. So, most of the people, when they go from here, they buy a return ticket. That's how we live here. We leave this world like we go to India, isn't it? We don't buy a one-way ticket, we always go with the return ticket. Similarly, those who are leaving, going also, while leaving the body, when we are leaving here, we are going with the return ticket. That is the generally that is the situation Krishna is mentioning there, because the reason is, he says that, so if it is not like that, we decide first of all where we want to be. Why? Our vasanas inside all has decided. By the time of death, more or less the decision is made inside. Where do you want to be the next life? A lot of desires comes back at that time, isn't it? So, even very rare jivas, even very rare ones, exceptional ones also, they also do the same thing, isn't it? They also do the same thing. They also do the same thing. So, here as Krishna mentions here, those who have executed yoga vasanas, it is about them Krishna is going to talk about, not the general public. That we must remember this. So, that means those who have not come to spiritual life at all, who have no interest in spiritual life, and who has not come into spiritual life at all, for them, it is, makes no difference whether you die in Uttarayanam or you die in Dakshinayanam. It doesn't make any difference to them. Is it not? It makes no difference to them whether you die in Uttarayanam or Dakshinayanam, because they are controlled by their own karmam. Karmam will decide, and whatever thoughts have come to them at the time of death, accordingly they'll get their next body and they'll come and accept that body very happily and live in this world. So, it is not addressing them, it is addressing those people who are very serious in spiritual life and engage in one of the processes of yoga system, karmam, jnanam or bhakti. They are following one of the processes seriously, but they did not make it. They didn't perfect it themselves. Prayada yandidam kalam. You will see this same thing. It is only for the yogis. It is only for the yogis. He says here, Prayada yandidam kalam vakshyami bharadarshabha. Remember that word, yoginam. Only for the yogis it applies. Only for the yogis it applies, not for others. Ordinary people, no. Not at all covered in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not for the ordinary person. It is for those who have taken spiritual life very seriously and who is performing sadhana, executing sadhana seriously and using this human life for self-realization with the goal. One who is living in this world. It is addressing them. So here, Prayada Yantidam Kalam Vakshyami Bharadarshava. Without coming back, going to the higher planets, it is possible that he can realize this knowledge in the higher planets. It is possible. It is possible. Because in the human body, it is possible to realize this knowledge. But if you refine yourself, refine means that we lost a lot of our bad vasanas inside. And we have refined ourselves. That means you elevate yourself into a higher level. That is elevation means, isn't it? That means towards the body of a demigod or a higher existence. Higher existence. You will see Krishna mentions Urdvam Gachandi Sattvastha. That means if say a lot of Sattvagunam develops inside us, we became very sattvic in our nature, Sattvagunam builds up, then what happens? Urdvam Gachandi. He will go to the higher level, higher existence will come. Madhye Tishtandi Rajasa. If you are still keeping all the old vasanas and thoughts inside, you will come back here, but again live in another existence in this world. Jaganya Gunavrittistu Adho Gachandi Tamasa. If a lot of tamogunam builds up inside us in life, it will drag us down to the lower planets. So here, these three modes of nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they have a very profound influence on our going up and going down. That is why later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has devoted one whole chapter, what is known as Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, only for this reason. Because this is where modes of nature comes in. Sattvagunam means what? Prakasham. Always enlightenment, knowledge, peacefulness, these are all the nature of the sattvagunam. Rajogunam means what? Pravritti and abhimanam. Always busy with work and always proud, and abhimanam, consciousness or self-conscious, always involved in the activities, pravritti. Pravritti and abhimanam. Tamogunam means nidra and alasyam, sleep and laziness, always in a very depressed mood, always frustrated and depressed in unhappy state. So, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three states of existence, and out of that, Krishna mentions here, if you have refined yourself and developed a lot of sattvagunam, and suppose you have gone to the higher planets, it is possible, there you will realize this truth and you can go back from there. You can go back from there. Because vijayam or thought power develops with the sattvagunam. Isn't it? With sattvagunam what happens? The thought power develops very well. So in Brahma Sutram, that's why in the Brahma Sutram you will see Indra realizing the truth in the higher planets. In the higher planets, he getting spiritual instructions from the spiritual master. So Indra can also realize the truth in the heavenly planets, although he is in the heavenly planets. Therefore, Indra goes to Prajapati and studying Brahma Vidya from him. There is a whole description there. In the heavenly planets, Indra and Virochana, they together go to study the Brahma Vidya from Prajapati, from Brahma. And he is teaching them. So, therefore, even if you go to the higher planets, from there you can go further. Provided there is sattvagunam inside the person, and there is a possibility that he will go from there. He'll go from there to the spiritual world. He'll realize the truth from there. So those who have gone without knowledge to higher planets, those who have gone without realization, but who have executed yoga process here, and they've gone to the higher planets. They didn't go to the spiritual world. They've gone to the higher planets. What is going to happen to them? That is the next verse. Let's look at that. 24. Agner Jyotiraha Shukla Shanvasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayada Gachandi Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha Agner Jyotiraha Shukla Shanvasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayada Gachandi Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha Agnir Jyotir Ahas Shuklam Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatraha Prayata Gachandi Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha. Translation: those who know the Supreme Brahman pass away from the world during the influence of the fiery god in the night at an auspicious moment during the fortnight of the moon and the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. So, Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayada Gachandi Brahma Brahma Vidho Jana. Now, if you read the translation, I don't know how much you will get to understand what Krishna is saying there. But whatever it is, still, the first thing is that what does this all mean, these different words in that verse. Agni Jyotis Ahasa Shuklam Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayada Gachandi Brahma Brahma Vido Janaha. So, yes. Agni Jyotisa Ahasa Shuklam Shanmasa Uttarayanam. Krishna is saying, Agni Kalabhimanini Devata Tatha Jyoti Api Devata Eva Kalabhimanini Athava Agni Jyotishi Yatha Shruti Eva Devate Bhuyasamtu Nurdesho Yatra Kale Tam Kalam Iti Amravanavat. So, this Agni, Jyoti, Ahasa, all these things is referring to, they all have their predominating deities. For example, Agni means fire. There is the predominating deity of the fire, which we address as the fire god, isn't it? In English, they call it as fire god. Agni Abhimani Devata, that is how they call it. That means Agni, it says here, Agni Kala Abhimanini Devata. There is Devata for everything. For daytime, there is a Devata. For nighttime, there is a Devata. Ratri Abhimani Devata. And similarly, Ahabhimani Devata, who is Abhimani Devata of the daytime. What it means is that they are called Adhishtana Devata. Adhishtana Devata means that there is a personality behind everything in the creation. There's a personality behind everything. Personality is never rejected. Personality is there in everything. It is rejected. So here, he says here, so keeping this Abhimana Devata, they are called Abhimana Devata. It's based on them that particular function happens here. So, so in the Vaidika language, in the language of the Vedam or Upanishad's language, Agni is the fire. There is a time they are in charge. Fire is in charge. Agni is in charge. That when Agni is in charge, that period is called Agni Devata's time. Agni Devata's time. When Agni is in charge. Similarly, all the stars also, they also have got Devata. Every star in the creation, what you find, as far as Vedam is concerned, there is a predominating deity in the star. Predominating deity in the star. So you can see that in the Bhagavadam, when Krishna appeared here, do you remember? What did they say? Ajana Janmaksham Shandarksham Grahatarakam. If you look into Bhagavadam, Krishna's appearance, if you read in the 10th canto, in the 3rd chapter, Shuka Brahmarshi mentions certain horoscope positions of the stars and the planets, isn't it? The position of the stars and the planets, he has spoken in the appearance time of Krishna. So there you can see one thing, he mentions there, it is in the 3rd chapter, that first verse, Shri Shuka Vacham, Krishna's appearance. Atha Sarva Guno Peda Kala Paramashobhana Yarkheva Jana Janmarksham Shandarksham Grahatarakam. All the planets and the stars. Krishna says, Shandarksham, Grahatarakam. They were in a state. All of them, just see how much Shuka Brahmarshi is telling us. At the time of Krishna's appearance, Sudeva Goswami is able to tell us the situation with the predominating deities of the stars who are in control at that time. So when, just like fire god Agni is in charge, at that time it is Agni Abhimani Devata. Agni is in charge. That is as far as this verse is concerned. Now, when Krishna was appearing, he is saying here, Atha Sarva Gunopeta Kalam Paramashobhanam. The time was very auspicious. How do you say some time is auspicious? Based on Erheva Janajan Marksham Shandar Shagrahata Ragam. At that time, the star Rohini and along with the all other stars, Ashwini and others, and when they join together with the sun, it says here that Sarva Gunobeda, all good things happened. All good things has happened. In other words, Krishna, it mentions here also that in the Ajana Janmarsham, that means, Ajana Janmarsham means Brahma, Lord Brahma is in control of Rohini. Brahma is in control of Rohini. Rohini star is under Brahma's control. Similarly, for every star, there is a Devata. There is a Devata behind it. So they are called as Kalabhimani Devata. Kalabhimani Devata means the time when they are very prominent. When they are very prominent. All these things are a little bit difficult to understand and explain also, because whatever information we have is what is there in the Upanishads and what the Acharyas have spoken about it. They will not go too much detail into these things, because as far as they are concerned, then the time was auspicious. In other words, Agni and Jyoti. Agnir Jyoti, it says, isn't it? Agnir Jyoti Rahas Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayana. So Agni and Jyotis, they are taken together. Agni and Jyotis is taken together. Agni is nothing but Jyotis. Jyotis means that the from fire comes the illumination, isn't it? That illumination is the Jyotis. So Agnir Jyotis, it is together. And there is one Devada combined for Agni and Jyotis together. Ahasa. Ahasa means daytime. And the daytime. Ahasa means daytime. Shukla Vaksham. Shukla Vaksham means the 15 days of the waxing moon. Waxing and waning. Waxing moon. And there is a deity, predominating deity for that period. That is called Shukla Vaksha Devata. The predominating deity for that period. When all these deities together, that means Agni Abhimani Devata or Agni and Jyotir, Ahasa, the daytime, Abhimani Devada or Ahasa Abhimani Devada, and Shukla Vaksham Abhimani Devada, when all of them are responsible at that time. If a time comes when all of them together, that comes in the Uttarayanam time. Uttarayanam time, they come together. So, that Shanvasa Uttarayanam, that if a death happens at that time, Tasmin Marge, it says here, Tasmin Marge, Tatha Ahar Devada, Aha Shuklaha, Shukla Baksha Devada, Shanmasa Uttarayanam, Tatra Abhi Devada, Eva Marga Bodha, Idisthitaha, Anyatra, Ayam Nyayaha, Tatra Tasmin Marge Prayata, Mrida Gachandi, Brahma Brahma Vido, Brahmobhasana Parajanaha, Kramena Idi Vakyasheshaha. So similarly, like Agni has its Devada, Agni and Jyotis has its Devada, Ahasa has its Devada, Ahasa means daytime, it has its Devada. Then also Shukla Vaksham, that means the waxing period of the moon, that has its Devada, and Uttarayanam has its Devada. When they are all responsible at that time, then they are all in their situation. Anyatra, it says here, Anyatra, Devada Tada Evada Kalabhimani Adhava, Yatra Kaletam Kalam Idi Ashamavad, Tada Ahar Devada, Aha Shuklaha, Shukla Baksha Devada, Shanmasa Uttarayanam, Tatra Api, Devada Eva Margabhudam Idi Stidaha, Anyatra Ayanyayaha, Tatra Tasmin Marge Prayada, Mrida Gachandi, Brahma Brahma Vido, Brahmobhasana Parajanaha, Kramena Idi Vakya Sheshaha. So, there are the words they use that in the ధూమో అగ్నిర్జ్యోతిరః శుక్ల షణ్మాస ఉత్తరాయణం తత్ర ప్రయాత గచ్చంది బ్రహ్మ బ్రహ్మవిదో జనాః. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, దోస్ హూ హ్యావ్ ప్రాక్టీస్డ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ హూ హ్యావ్ లెఫ్ట్ దేర్ బాడీ అట్ దట్ టైమ్, దట్ దే విల్ బి షోన్ ద వే ఫార్ హయర్ జర్నీ బై దీస్ ప్రొడామినేటింగ్ డైటీస్. ద ప్రొడామినేటింగ్ డైటీస్ విల్ బి ఫేవరబుల్ టు దమ్. దట్ ఈస్ ది అడ్వాంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ లీవింగ్ ద బాడీ అట్ దట్ టైమ్. బట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు ప్లాన్ ఫ్రమ్ హియర్. It's not possible. Suppose you have executed your yoga practices very well, karmam, jnanam, bhakti, whatever process, after leaving the body, and if it happens at a time when all this Agni Devada, Shukla Paksha Devada, Uttarayana Devada, Ahas Devada, when they are all responsible, if you leave the body and if you are on your journey to the higher planets, they will direct you in the right direction. That is what they are saying. Tatra prayada gachandi brahma brahma vidho jana. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Tatra prayada gachandi brahma brahma vidho jana. In other words, every devada on the way, they will take control of you and they will move on up further and further. They will carry you further and further to the higher level. It's difficult to understand all these things because we are not even conscious of the soul. What to talk about the changing the body or our journey back to the spiritual world. So simply if you understand this much, that what Krishna is saying in that verse is, there are Adhishthana Devada, predominating deities for everything. Agni, fire has got it Devada, Agni Abhimani Devada, శుక్లపక్ష అభిమాని దేవత, ఉత్తరాయణ అభిమాని దేవత. అండ్ ఇఫ్ అ పర్సన్ హు హాస్ ఎగ్జిక్యూటెడ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్, ఇఫ్ హీ లీవ్స్ హిస్ బాడీ అట్ ద టైమ్ వెన్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ఇన్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ పొజిషన్స్, దే విల్ హెల్ప్ దట్ సోల్ ఆన్ ఇట్స్ అప్వర్డ్ జర్నీ, ఇన్ ఇట్స్ జర్నీ అప్వర్డ్. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, దే వోంట్ డ్రాగ్ యూ డౌన్. దిస్ ఇస్ ద ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్, దే వోంట్ డ్రాగ్ యూ డౌన్. సో యూ కెన్ సీ దట్ time of leaving the body is important, but at the same time we can't give a very clear answer to all the questions there, because these conditions have to be favorable, which means agnir jyotirah shuklam shanmasa utrayanam. Krishna saying tatra prayada gachandi, if at that time if his journey starts from this world, brahma vidho janah. Purusha Puri, he mentions that nahi sadyo mukti bhajam samyak darshana nishthanam gadi agadi va kochid asti natasya prana ulkramandi iti shrutehe. But at the same time, Upanishad, Shankaracharya quotes from Upanishad and says to us, this does not apply to those nahi sadyo mukti bhajam, who have received sadyo mukti. For example, you can see in Parikshit's case, there is no Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam is there. Parikshit heard Bhagavadam and realized the truth and went back. Didn't have to think about Uttarayanam or Dakshinayanam. It didn't happen. Is it not? So there is a difference there. In the Bhishma's case, we still talk about Uttarayanam there. But it so happened that in Bhishma's case, Uttarayanam was favorable for him. All these Devadas have taken him further up from here. Remember, we discussed Bhishma Stuti before. We mentioned there also that Krishna stood in front of Bhishma, but Bhishma was not satisfied. He says, come inside me. That's what he said to Krishna, isn't it? Come dhyana bada chaturbhuja, come inside me and remain there, only then it's a guarantee for me that I'll go in the right direction. He mentioned that in the Bhagavatam. So you can see the problem, that Bhishma is leaving the body and Krishna has agreed to go inside and Bhishma is leaving. Vedavyasa Maharshi, in order to stress that point again, that he is not coming back, he also mentioned the Uttarayanam there at that time. Because Bhishma's departure was in the time when Uttarayanam deities were all favorable for him. In other words, there was no question of Bhishma coming back here, he's only gone up from there. He's gone upward from there. So he says here, Nahi sadyo mukti bhajam samyak darshana nishtanam gati agati va kojid asti na tasya prana ulkramandi iti shutehe. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is saying this, that very fast by self-realization, one who have reached that stage and who have realized their truth while living within this body here, for them, for their soul, there is no question of coming back. Going and coming doesn't happen. Because realization happened here, right within this body here. When the body drops away, the business is over. They were waiting to shed the body. And the body they have left. When the prarabdham is over, body drops away and they have gone. They don't have to come back here. And Upanishad says this. So, Acharya Swami mentions here, do not contradict that with this statement from this verse. For this verse is only referring to those who have come through this, that they have executed a lot of yoga practices here, and due to their yoga advancement in the yoga system, but they didn't make it perfect here. Therefore, they went into the higher planets. But if they have gone to the higher planets at a time when Agni Abhimani Devada, Jyotir Abhimani Devada, Uttarayan Abhimani Devada, Agas Abhimani Devada, when they are on the responsible positions, they will carry him further upwards from there. They won't send him back. They will help him to go further from there. That is what that verse is talking about. So, here, you can see here that, so here, this verse, you have to remember, does not refer to those people who are living a materialistic life. It doesn't apply to them. They, whatever time they leave, they will come back. That's the answer to that. Doesn't matter, even on Janmashtami day they go, they'll come back. There is no question. So people make a fuss of all these things, isn't it? They say, oh yes, left on this Ekadashi day, or yes, left on Ramanavami day, or Janmashtami day, so he won't come back. No, it's not. Man would have lived a completely sinful life in this world, never got involved in spiritual life. Somehow it so happened he died on the Janmashtami day. Immediately they put a photo there and put a note at the bottom, he left on the Janmashtami day, as though he has gone back home. It doesn't work like that. It's not so simple as they make out of it. What Krishna is saying here is that, making it very clear to us, time is important, but your life is also important. What life you have lived in this world, that also matters. It's not that just the time again decides everything, what happens to you after death. So, so only Uttarayanam and the daytime, suppose a person died in the daytime, people say, oh, very auspicious, he's died during the daytime. And Uttarayanam time. And if he was engaged in the Brahmavijaram or self-realization process, Atmavijaram, if it is like that, or if he was engaged in Pranavopasana, Pranavopasana, and only for them this apply, not for others. Because they don't have the prarabdham anymore to come back, and they will go to the higher planets, and when they go to the higher planets, and at that time, if it is Uttarayanam time or daytime, and when these devatas are prominent position, and they will show him the way further up from there. That's all what it means, that verse means. So whenever people ask this question, they will ask this question about these verses. I'm sure people will ask this question. That and they will say, some people are very clever. They will only pick this one verse out. And they will say, he died in Uttarayanam, and he died on a Janmashtami day or a Ramnavami day, whatever it is. And they'll say, he must have gone back, isn't he? You'll ask the question. No, you cannot say that. You can't answer that question. Because this applies to only those, had he lived a life of self-realization, spiritual life. Only then, in due course of time, Krishna is saying, he will reach the destination. That is all. That's all he mentions there. So, Vedanta Vijnana Punishchidavatam. So, here you can see this is Kramamukti. Kramamukti means gradually getting released. not instantaneously, gradually getting released from here. Nahi sadyo mukti iti shrutehe, not sadyo mukti what was spoken. Sanyasa yoga jadeya shuddha sattvade brahma logeshu parandakale paramrutam parimuchyati sarve. So one who has realized here in this world, those who are getting liberated here within this body, this question doesn't arise. For example, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava or what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, if those have been properly practiced here, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and through sadhana, bhakti, jnanam, if one somehow realizes that here in this world, this rule doesn't apply to him. But those who have not become perfect here, it is for them this applies to. Because in their case, the difference is, those who have not become perfect, in their life case, the life air, the pranan, will leave this body and go. But those who have realized here, the pranan doesn't leave, it goes back and completely goes back to the source where it came from in the heart. That is a Jivan Mukti's case. Jivan Mukta's case, that's what happens. The soul will go to Sahasra, when the yoga process they call, through the different chakras it travels to the topmost position, Sahasraram, and then it comes back and again goes into the source where originally it came from. Sa esha jive vivara prasuti. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? There is a hole through whom he came in, and through the same hole he will go back into his state where he came from. Therefore, he doesn't have to go out. Tasya pranaha ulkramanti. Brahmalina prana. They are called Brahmalina prana. That means they realize the Brahman and they become Brahman here itself. Within this body itself, they become Brahman. Body will still stay. One day, the karmam prarabdham is over, the body will drop and they are Brahman. After that, they are Brahman. They are not talking about it. But here we are talking about it. These people who are engaged in sadhana here, they are doing sadhana here, and they have reached a very high level also. But even though they have reached a very higher level, but even though they may not have come back and gone back to the same place where they came from, sa esha jivo vivara prasuti, they will go into the higher planets and they will get stuck there. And those who have reached like that, they still have little bit of vasana there in them. Their vasanas have not completely exhausted. So Krishna is going to talk about them in the next verse. Those who have gone to the higher planets, or those could not go further from there because there is still vasanas left in them. So if you look at the next verse, see what Krishna says. Dhumo ratristatha Krishna Shanmasa uttarayanam. Shanmasa dakshinayanam. Tatra chandramasam jyotir Yogi prapya nivartate. Dhumo ratristatha Krishna Shanmasa dakshinayanam. Tatra chandramasam jyotir Yogi prapya nivartate. Dhumo ratri tatha Krishna Shanmasa dakshinayanam. Tatra chandramasam jyoti yogi prapya nivartate. Have you noticed that in both these verses Krishna has been very particular that he uses the word yogi? Both are people who are practicing yoga system, not ordinary people. That means these both situations, Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam, both conditions only apply to those who are in the yoga process. Either Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, doesn't matter, any yoga process. Those who are following the yoga process, only for them this apply. Others it doesn't apply at all. So based on leaving the body and the time and the day, we should not say, talk about people, oh, he has gone. For your happiness, you can say something. But that may not be the truth, that's what I'm saying. It may not be the truth. Truth is different. Truth is different. So, here Krishna says, first in the Agnir Jyotiraha Shukla, in that verse 24, Krishna spoke about those who have gone to the higher planets, but while going, these planets were, these Abhimani Devata, predominating deities, were in responsible positions. Because they were in responsible positions, they will carry him further to a higher level, above and above. You'll go further up and up, further from there. Now, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, same yogis who have practiced yoga systems here, karma, jnanam, bhakti, all the other different yoga processes, but they couldn't reach perfection. They still have some vasanas left behind in them. But they left the body while these devadas were in responsible positions. Who all? Dhumam, Ratri, Tatha, Krishna, then Shanmasa, Dakshinayanam. When the sun passes in the southern side, Shanmasa, the 6 months, Krishna, the waning moon, the fortnight of the waning moon, and Ratri, in the night time, Dhumam, smoke. And when the sun passes, Tatra, Chandramasam, the moon planet, Jyoti, light, Yogi, the mystic, Prapya, Achis, Nivartande, comes back. It comes back. So, Dhumam. Dhumam means what? Dhumam means, in simple terms, it is smoke. Isn't it? It is smoke. So, in the fire, there are... Fire has... How many fires, you know, are there? No. 49. Yeah. One less. So, 49 different fires are there. Out of them, 7 of them are important. And that is, in these fires are given the names based on the on the sacrifices. When they perform, they invite, and all of them are not invited. Only some of them are invited. Because only some of them are qualified to receive the offering. So, that is why this different Abhimani Devata does exist there. So here, smoke comes from the fire, isn't it? So, in the smoke also, there is a predominating deity for the smoke. That is what Dhumam. Dhumam is that. The predominating deity of the smoke which comes from the fire. Similarly, in other words, not the root of the light, but rather the root of the darkness. Root of the darkness. That is what it means, Dhumam. Dhumam, Ratri together. Agnir, Jyoti together. Dhumam and Ratri together. Darkness, darkness, when we say darkness, it also have to understand, darkness actually refers not simply the darkness of sunlight. Darkness means that the state you leaving the body in darkness, ajnanam, in avidya, if it is there. But suppose you have executed yoga process here and you are leaving your body. You are leaving your body. And it so happened, the Abhimani Devadas who are present there as predominating responsible positions, all of them are not very favorable. Dhumam, Ratri together. Smoke and the darkness together. The Dakshinayanam. Dakshinayanam Margam. Uttarayanam Margam. And the same thing is what is called Devayanam, Pitrayanam. Pitrayanam is Dakshinayanam. And Devayanam is Uttarayanam. Devayanam is Uttarayanam. Pitrayanam is Dakshinayanam. So, Chandramasi. Chandramasi means the moon. It's not the moon what we see in the sky. That's not the moon referring to. Because the moon planet, according to Shastram, is many millions of miles away further than the sun planet. Now, this has also caused a lot of problems. You see, the science is telling us the moon is, I don't know, 1,86,000 something like second per second. If you travel, they have 93 million miles.
That's what they say. 93 million miles is the distance to this moon planet. Moon planet, that is according to the scientists. And according to the scientists, sun is far away than the moon from this planet. From this planet is far away. So when Prabhupada said that they did not go into the moon, Chandra Lokam, the planet of the moon, there was always questions. They could not come to terms with it. But this moon planet, what is spoken here, is not this moon what we see in the sky. There is a world of the moon which is known as Chandramasam, Chandra Lokam, Chandramasi. Because this Chandran or moon, what he is talking about is not this moon here. Because by definition itself in Vedam, Chandra Lokam, the planet of the moon, is far, far away from the, even than the sun planet. But none of them is outside the universe. Neither the Surya Mandalam or the sun planet, nor the Chandra Mandalam or the moon planet is outside the universe. It's all within this universe itself. Also you have to understand, corresponding to the sun and the moon outside, there is a sun and the moon inside us as well. You know that. Because that is why Buddhi, Abhimani Devata, who is the Abhimani Devata of the Buddhi? Sun. Isn't it? And who is the Abhimani Devata of the mind? Moon. So, corresponding to that sun and the moon, they are present inside us. Body is not simply what the doctors and chemists are telling us. It's a lot more complex than that. Rishis are telling us, either you accept the Rishis' words or you can leave it. That's up to the individual. But the sages are telling us, corresponding to the sun and the moon, they are present inside us in the form of intelligence and the mind. Suryan, sun is the Abhimani Devata of the Buddhi. And moon, Chandra, is the Abhimani Devata of the mind. Abhimani Devata of the mind. So these two are called their mandalam, Surya Mandalam and Chandra Mandalam. And it is a mandalam, a phase inside, the solar phase and the lunar phase. They are inside us. So one who has reached that Chandra Mandalam, or the lunar phase, he is in that state that he has not realized the truth. He didn't realize the truth, jnanam. Didn't really happen to him. So, and he is not engaged in the Brahma Upasana. On the other hand, what he is doing is, he is busy with karma anushtanam. That means karma gandam in the Veda. These people who will go in that direction, you know that karmakandam in the Vedam is for what purpose? It is only for one reason, that if you engage in karmakandam, there is a possibility that you will definitely go to a higher level of existence, provided you execute the karmakandam in the proper way it is spoken in the Vedam. Vedam is a very exhaustive thing it is, very difficult to understand everything, but simple terms that they are not doing Brahma Upasana. On the other hand, they are engaged in Karma Anushtanam. Karma Anushtanam, that means Karma Gandam they are following, and they have a desire inside. Vasanas have not gone away. Such people engage in Karma Gandam. If they have still some Vasana inside, what is that Vasana? They want to enjoy. They want to enjoy. Want to heavenly planets and enjoy there. And in order to enjoy in the heavenly planets, the process recommended in the Vedam is Karmakandam. You can enjoy in the Vedam, if execute Karmakandam, going Prajina Barhis and many others wanted to do that, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, the stories. So, but they are not Brahma Upasana. They are not after cultivation of spiritual knowledge. They are after enjoyment. They are after enjoyment. For such people, that they will go to the higher planets, and when the happiness is over there, after experiencing all the happiness of that and the results of all their pious activities of karmakandam, once that is over, that they will come back to this world. They will come back to this world. Because one reason is saying here that dumo ratri sadha krishna shan masa dakshinayanam. In dakshinayanam, if they leave with all this background behind them, executing this karmakandam, in dakshinayanam if they leave,
when they go to these higher planets, there is no possibility of going up from there. Rather, they will come back. Why? Vasanas have not gone away from inside. So, from this you can understand, those who are leaving the body in Uttarayanam, when Agni, Jyotisa, Ahasa, Shuklam, Abhimani Devata, they are all in responsible positions. Those who have executed here, cultured spiritual knowledge and engaged in the process of self-realization, if they leave the body in that period of Uttarayanam, these predominating deities will help them to go further. On the other hand, those who are engaged in the karmakandam here, which indicates that they still have desires inside to enjoy, and with those desires they have executed karmakandam, because karmakandam is a part of the Vedam, so they have to get the result. Result is that they will go up still. But the problem is, they will go to the higher planets, they will enjoy all for what they were looking for, and then they will come back here again. That is the problem there. That is what that word. So you can see the difference between the two journeys. These people, more or less, they have the return ticket. The other is the one-way ticket. That's the difference. So we'll discuss it Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.